Let's get ready to wrinkle!
See that Star Wars jizz video I sent you?
What?
Obviously, Corey and Howie.
Apparently, my spam filters have been picking up Mike.
Oh man, that was
seriously.
Great.
You have to check
the
it
whole
out.
Ken Burns documentary thing to it was amazing.
Oh wow,
there's a guy that did a little documentary about it. It's called Star Wars Jizz. And it's like underneath, it's like yes, there's such a thing as Star Wars jizz. Yep.
And meanwhile, a bunch of really freaky minded people who aren't in the know are going, I can't not click on this.
Well, we can't call it jazz. Well, maybe we should just replace.
They should have used our college role playing rename things technique, which was just to add spa on the end of it. Like, let's play some jazz spa.
They had 4.5 other vowels to choose from. Why can't they use any of those?
It could have been Jaws.
Jaws.
Sometimes why?
A little bit of Jaws.
Yeah. Jaws.
Yeah.
Jaws. Joes. Let's listen to some Joes. it's like a drunken shipwreck singing old naval tunes.
Oh, shipwreck.
Yep.
Yep.
Go Joes. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. To episode number 5?
5.
Holy cow, 5. It's been that long already? We Red need 5. Lives. Welcome to episode 5 of Fly Casual. I'm just going to use whatever consonant sounds that come out of my mouth right now. It doesn't really seem to matter at all.
You do that.
I am your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. And I'm in here. I'm joined in the room here with Michael J. Archbold.
Yellow.
Stephen J. Howie.
Hi.
And not Garrick, or Garrick, not Jay Hardy.
Hey,
gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Great.
All right.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. Have a great couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Been a lot of stuff, man. A lot of news, a lot of rumors going around.
Crap. Strap in, listeners.
To talk about tonight.
Oh, man. Strap on your Durasteel feed bags because it's going to be a rough one. Yeah, buddy. Well, good.
Speed.
Good. Why waste any time then? Why don't we just bust into it? Because we've got so much to cover. It's time for news. Right?
Well, I think we're going to start off with a story that we covered last week. We talked about...
We got a ton of news to cover. So, yeah, let's review.
let's go backwards. We're
gonna hit it cold.
Sorry. We have an update on Karen Gillian and her red hair.
Oh, thank God!
Yes.
This is our lead-in
story. This is our lead-in story. You know, talking earlier about the show Newsroom, and there's something I've learned about when they when they're trying to decide what news is going to be the lead-in. And I think the universal rule is that it's Karen Gilliam's wig. I think in all news broadcasts everywhere.
It should be.
So, yeah.
No, if it isn't, it
makes perfect sense. Right. Please, what's going on with Karen Gilliam's wig?
Well, we reported last time that there were rumors surrounding Karen Gilliam's hair removal. The process of the hair removal.
Sorry, I was suddenly 13 again.
Did you get a Brazilian blowout?
Well, I think hair removal and it's,
waxing.
Yeah.
Hair down there.
Yeah. And wink.
What? I'm not sure I get it.
Oh, right.
Garrick, some people have these, I'll draw you a picture later.
We reported that Karen Gillian shaved her head for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
And the rumor was that somehow Lucasfilm had ended up with the wig. And so, of course, all of us nerds on the net went crazy and was like, well, what's Lucasfilm doing with red hair? Is that going to be Mara Jade? Save Mara. So anyway, Karen Gillian has come out since our last podcast and cleared the air a little bit about the red wig rumors. Essentially.
I can't believe you got that phrase out without stumbling.
I know. That was pretty amazing.
That was.
Anyway, what she has said is that actually Lucasfilm was brought in to construct the wig. to help put it together.
Imagine that. I need a wig. All right. All right. Let's call Industrial Light and Magic.
that's what they called the Creature Shop.
Why not?
At Lucasfilm. And they came in and they put a wig together for her. So, again, she needed the wig because after she was done recording Guardians of the Galaxy, she needed to be able to put hair back on and do her other gigs.
I don't buy it.
Mara Jade. Done. Close this podcast out.
Yep.
Misdirection.
Yeah. Well, I say what you're saying is probably real, but what I'm saying is more fun.
It is. So we're going to continue. We're going to continue to believe that Mara Jade is still alive.
Close your eyes tight.
She has not died.
Stick your stubby sausage like fingers in your ear holes and just block reality out, because that's what fans do.
Yeah.
Sarnet.
Yeah. Sausage.
All right. Well, Mark Hamill was spotted. Speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, he was.
Wait, what?
I said, speaking of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, which you said Mark Hamill. Now we're confused. Please finish.
Okay. Mark Hamill, comma, speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, comma. Is that better?
I'm not sure.
Now you've taken it far out
semicolon.
Of my realm of expertise.
All right. Mark Hamill was at the premiere for Guardians of the Galaxy.
And, of course,
somebody snapped a few pictures. If you have not seen him recently, he's sporting the full-on Jedi beard.
Yeah, I believe I saw it referred to as contractually obligated beard.
That's how it was explained.
And believe me, it looks like a contractually obligated beard.
It's a mess. It's one hot mess.
Oh, yeah. I think he looks awesome, though. It looks like that grizzled old Jedi guy.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he doesn't look like anything what you're used to seeing, like arted up on the cover of EU novels or anything like that.
You know, the funny thing is that we've, on our Twitter page, we had a couple of tweets right next to each other, and one was a meme with Obi-Wan on it.
Right.
And the one right next to it was a picture that we posted with Mark Hamill, and I, as I was scrolling through, I was like, oh, wow. The resemblance was kind of cool. He kind of very much has an Obi-Wan look to him. So. Yeah. And which would make sense. I mean, Obi-Wan being his mentor. And
yeah, because he even named his kid after.
Oh.
We need a special sound effect for every time I bring up something from the EU.
The EU that has died.
Yeah, we just need like a little trombone. That's exactly. Or just the Price is Right.
I think that's the one. I think you got the right
it's
one.
It's copyrighted.
Oh, man.
I don't care. We're going to do it anyway.
Just change a note. Just change one note.
If we play less than 15 seconds.
Oh, it goes da-na-da-na. Oh.
My God, he's improved upon it.
So anyway, if you have not seen Mark Hamill's beard, go to the...
whether you want to or not. Whether you want to see that beard or not, you haven't.
Go check it out. You need to see it, man. He looks kind of cool. All right, moving on. Let's see. Filming has been going strong the last couple weeks. Most of the filming since our last podcast has been at Pinewood Studios, but this past week they
wrapped
up.
Home of the famous Derby, right?
The famous Derby.
Yeah, Pinewood Derby.
With the cars.
Where they fly all the Cub Scouts in the world out to.
The championships, right? At Pinewood Studios.
I took third place.
Are they going to replace the pod racing with Pinewood Derby racing? Is that what they're...
I don't have a witty retort for that. I'm kind of like, I don't know that I would not enjoy that.
Just as long as Jake Lloyd's out there waving the flag.
No, he'll be out there waving his dink.
Wizards!
He'll be out there waving his dink. That dude hates so much. Anything related to Star Wars these days. His dink.
What?
You heard me.
It's a dink.
His male member.
Now keep this for, so kids can listen.
Oh, consarnate, his a member of the Star Wars fan club, clearly.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
That's what I was talking about. He's waving his buddy Gerald around, who's a member of this. I'm done with this.
How's it going, Mike? Speaking of filming, they have spent the last 3 days, though, in Ireland at the beautiful Skellig-Michael Islands.
Ah.
And if you have not seen pictures of that, we, again, encourage you to go check out our Facebook and Twitter feeds and see the pictures. Really neat place. It was kind of, to me, it was a little reminiscent of maybe a Yavin type setting. I don't know. Yeah, to me it did. Because
Gavin was jungly.
It was jungly, but I don't know. I guess here we go with EU references again.
I know, we suck.
I'm going to the iJedi and the Jedi Academy series, and I, you know, thinking of some of the XR Kun scenes and stuff, and where he was at.
Oh, yeah.
They were kind of filming in areas that are kind of rocky and had some runes and things like that. So
that's cool.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool. So anyway,
Sithy.
Maybe we'll get into the.
we can only hope.
It didn't look like Naboo to me. Naboo was kind of pristine and reminds
me of Italy. Forests at the beginning.
Yeah, Naboo was Tuscany.
Oh, very.
You're just saying that word. I feel like I need to like hit myself in the crotch.
It was Southern Spain. I have no idea.
So anyway, at the Skellig Islands, and I won't get a lot of the other podcasts out there getting into, you know, who was there and how they know and all this stuff. But anyway, pretty much confirmed that Mark Hamill was on site filming scenes with Daisy Ridley.
Right.
At the Skellig. So, and
you mean Jaina?
Oh, sigh.
I'm sorry, folks.
Anyway,
you say you're sorry, but you're the one that's going to push the button to send this out to those poor people.
Anyway, also cited on set, lightsabers. So looks like
there's lightsabers. Holy crap! Now I'm excited.
Wow.
What colors?
Yeah, that's true.
Well.
There was a red one.
That's in post,
and
man.
A blue and or green one.
But actually, a couple of interesting notes. J.J. Abrams was there, which not surprising since Hamill and Ridley were there, but also Kathleen Kennedy. And so some people theorizing that the scenes filmed there might hold some importance, you know, for her to make the trek out and spend the 3 days there.
Really?
So, yeah.
To me, that's just more of a come out and see what's going on kind of thing.
Yeah.
That to me doesn't sound like something where it's like, we have to make sure this is done exactly right. Cause I don't think that's how she rolls.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. But I get the feeling
how often, and I know Lucas was a completely different thing, but we had talked about on past podcasts where, you know, sometimes people would say, oh yeah, Mr. Lucas was on set today. You know? Like, what? Isn't he directing the thing?
Yeah. Were you at the second unit? What was going on? Yeah. No, we were in his backyard. he had something.
So, well, I thought it was interesting though. I mean, obviously it wasn't just a scene where it's just them talking or, you know, kind of close up type shots. Obviously there was some action going on if there were lightsabers involved and things like that.
So. I don't know. What if it was just really dark? And they're like, hey, we need to have a serious conversation. Yeah, but I can't see you. Let me fix it. Snap, hiss. There, now.
Yeah, sounds just
now
like
now
it.
Can you see me? I can totally see you now. Okay, let's have this in-depth conversation in very close-up angles.
Well, I think you just nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
I should be in the industry, guys.
Calling him like he sees him.
That's right.
All right.
Brain tummy.
And now that we finished at Skellig Michael Islands, cast will be preparing for their little 2-week reprieve at the 1st of August. This pause in filming, of course, was the result of broken down Ford.
Poor Ford. We need to upgrade.
Yeah.
We need to kick that old F-150 to the curb. I'm just kidding. I love that curmudgeon-y old bastard.
This is that little 2-week vacation from the result of breaking a leg.
So. Yep.
Anyway. So,
and everybody's like just secretly thanking him, walking over like, hey, does it still hurt? No, not really. I'm fine. Good, because I am totally hitting the beach. Sounds feasible.
Yeah. All right. So on from
it's a high energy podcast tonight, folks. Boom, boom, boom. We're hitting it hard.
Sorry. We got a lot tonight, so that's why we're kind of trying to get through this.
We're
man.
Just miserable having to slug through this, everybody.
This is awful.
You might as well just turn this crap off
Star
right now.
Star Wars again.
All right. Well, moving on from our episode.
Can we talk about something
updates?
Other than Star Wars?
All right. How about video games?
Oh, hey, what?
Whoa.
I like them.
Hey,
yeah. I like shooting stuff and jumping around the air using those lightsabers.
We got some video gamers in here, right? You guys like the Star Wars video games, yeah?
Yeah, first.
I've played a few.
All right. So I know that Corey and Howie have played Old Republic MMO. Garrett, I don't know.
Yes, the three of us, okay. The three of us all numbskulled our way into that together.
Okay.
Garrick's got the giant cube of shame just like we do.
Yeah. All right, boys. Well, I'm going to read the report here and let you video game nerds go at it. Okay, all right.
Here we go. Ready?
Okay, here it is.
I'm cinching them up. I'm pulling up my big boy pants.
All right, this is kind of a two-parter. First off, Star Wars Old Republic MMO raked in $165 million in 2013,
making it
the number two behind World of Warcraft.
That's amazing. Whoa. Maybe they've almost made back a quarter of what they spent in the development of it.
Well, they say it's one of the top five most profitable. So,
and one of the most expensive games ever developed. Yeah,
probably. Yeah. It was supposed to compete with World of Warcraft and hasn't even come close. I mean, it's a distant second.
It's not a thing that can compete with World of Warcraft. It's a different itch. Even if they're built on the same kind of gameplay platforms, it's like, what's to pull you from one into the other if it's virtually the same? It's whether or not you want to hang out in Star Wars.
Right.
You know, that's all it comes down to. And frankly, I liked that game when it came out. It petered out for me mid-level. But when I went back to the free-to-play, which was very soon after it went free-to-play, I was like, this is junk. They launched free-to-play wrong. And I don't know what they've done to rectify. Yeah, maybe they've done some stuff to rectify that since then.
So you guys,
I keep seeing updates.
No, not at all lately. We all kind of jumped out about a month in.
Yeah,
they post updates, and I've seen that they open up the apartments and customize an apartment and everything. But it's kind of like, if I can't walk up to a friend's place and go in, like if I have to actually go select through a loading thing or whatever, it's just, I don't understand the point of all that customization if you can't flaunt it, you know, or if it's, I don't know.
Dumb. I almost got back into it. I had it reinstalled, and then I'm like, oh, I can't find my authenticator. Oh, well.
I know where mine is. It's still sitting under my bed. It has been for over a year.
I still haven't found it, so.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, at that point, you're like, is it worth contacting customers? No, of course not.
Nope.
I'm just going to go.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Let me ask you guys this. I mean, is your experience, do you think your experience with it is indicative of what other fans have experienced with it?
Yes.
Okay. At the beginning,
yes. I mean, some people are obviously going to pound their fists and say no, but I would say overwhelmingly gamers and Star Wars fans alike.
All right. Then here's the second part of this. Are you guys surprised then that they're talking about a sequel with tie-ins to the new movies?
Yes.
Wait.
Yes.
A sequel, like it's going to take place later or in the same time frame?
Those details are very sketchy. But all they're talking about is a sequel, so it'll be a different game
Just kind of like I don't know, changing some of but drawing from the assets and stuff like that. Just, you know, the framework's already there, so really I guess it wouldn't be nearly as much of an undertaking to just make it the same thing but with a slightly different style. I mean, it's still huge, but not nearly as big as the first one was.
Yeah.
When we first started playing that, we were completely head over heels in love with it.
Yeah, I remember you guys brought me over and showed me trailers for it and everything. So.
Oh, I remember when Howie first got in on the beta and we were projecting it up on my screen out here. Mm-hmm. And he chose Bounty Hunter. Just the sounds of the wrist lasers or the blasters.
Yeah.
Like our sphincters were puckered up so hard. You know what I mean? And we had the surround sound going, and it was just like, this is the combat felt so rewarding. But as much as they did the whole singular story where you go into instance, certain missions are instanced in stories so that you actually have dialogue with other characters. And so a lot of stuff that you don't get in MMOs. And we were totally in love with that. But it's just, we got to the point where there just became a long grind. You get past like the first 20 levels or whatever, and you hit this long, painful grind, and you couldn't go other places. Like, well, I'm kind of bored here. I'm going to go and level over here. You pretty much had to finish everything before you went to the next thing. So you just felt like you were being funneled down this long, painful tunnel.
So now I've never played any of this. So how does that compare to World of Warcraft? Is that anywhere, anytime?
Well,
I mean, why is that more popular than, I mean, it's just been around longer, obviously.
Right. Well, that's part of it. World of Warcraft, I think, had a lot of these same issues. And early on, mm-hmm. but have refined so much in that time.
I think when it first launched, Knights of the Republic, that is, or the Old Republic, I think what really killed it is when you were doing the dungeon. There was no dungeon finder.
You had to
go around saying, hey, looking for group.
In World of Warcraft, at, you know, and they didn't have the Dungeon Finder originally, no. But you know, by the time we were playing, they did. And so if you're like, I don't like the area that I'm in and I want to level differently, you could usually find another place to quest. But you could also just go into town or whatever, or you didn't have to be in town. You just open up a browser and say, I want to run this dungeon. So, I'm, you know, find me a group. And it would basically, what role do you want to fill? Oh, I'm going to be the tank. And well, if you chose that, you'd be in a group right away because yeah. nobody would tank. But if you were like a DPSer, you might have to wait 30 minutes, but you could keep questing. And they would say, hey, your group is ready. You want to go. And you go in and there's all these people that are there to do the dungeon. Old Republic years later comes out and they don't have a dungeon finder at the time built into it. So you could not, they had all these like great instanced dungeons, you know, I'm quote unquote, that you could run these missions, but you could never find a group to do it. You'd have to go into these like right. tiny little rooms. Everybody go into these tiny little rooms where you would actually initiate these missions and like talk to this droid or whatever and get it started. And it's a tiny room, so nobody would just be hanging out down there. Because that's the other thing. You need to have a place where people congregate if everybody's just going to be going, LFG, LFG, you know, which is looking for group. And spamming the chat, like the little chat scrolling across the bottom of the screen. So you're looking for like LFG DPS for, I don't know, all I can ever think is ICC, which is Ice Crown Citadel in World of Warcraft. But, LFG, ICC, you know. And so... You just basically, one of the coolest things about the game were these missions that would change based on the alignment of your groups and the choices that they made in dialogue. The missions would be slightly different. All of this was awesome. You never did it. It was like, it might as well not have been there. We did a couple of them because all of us were on and we could actually get it, or we would only have to recruit like one person.
Right.
But I mean, that was just such a glaring omission at launch. It was just kind of like, wow. Now I'm stuck in this long, long grind and I don't want to be. Mm-hmm. I still get emotional thinking about it.
Maybe I should reinstall it.
I'm going to go out and throw that Darth Malgus statue up against the wall.
Garrick's good at homework assignments. Why don't you start this back up and report on it next time? Right? All right. Well, yeah, staying on video games, this was an interesting one that kind of came by, and still not sure how much validity there is to this, but there's been a couple of different sources, one of which claims to know somebody at the software development company. So without further ado,
seems legit.
Seems cool to me. Yeah. Rumors have begun surfacing about, speaking of the Old Republic, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 3. Were you guys fans of the Knights of the Old Republic
3?
I love Knights of the Old Republic.
I've only put about 3,000 hours into those games.
Yeah.
Now, see, I played those games.
I've only played it on three different platforms. You know, the first one on three different platforms. Second one liked, but definitely the last act was really painful because they had to chop it off because they were forced to release it unfinished. So it was kind of
a lot of folks say that the second one didn't end very.
It was a matter of they couldn't finish it. Which kind of
sucked because the second one, I think the character, the way he was amazing. I don't know if I'm supposed to spoil it.
In the books, it was her exile.
The exile. She had the power to, I think, pretty much leech the force from people to gain her force powers.
Yeah.
So she was kind of like the ultimate weapon that the Sith were looking for. I think that was awesome setup, but they just pooped the bed.
I remember the explanation at the end. Just, all right, you're going to look at this Sith lady, just talk for 7 hours and text crawl across the screen. And oh, look, here's a really junky looking Malachor 5 floating around in the background.
Hooray. I just remember playing the first one. Very satisfying. It was very action packed.
Yeah.
A lot to do. The missions were straightforward. You got beginning to end, and you learned a lot about kind of the Jedi and how they kind of divide themselves into different groups.
And the cell cat looked like they were made out of shiny toothpaste. That was awesome.
And then what I remember about the second one seemed a lot more philosophical and a lot more in depth about, you know, light versus dark and the grays,
which is cool, but it lost all the action and the loot didn't really add much to the loot that was exciting.
It was still a good game.
But it had Darth Nihilus.
It sure did.
So with that said, what we're hearing now is, from a couple different sources. So there's some credence to the rumor, but, apparently within the software development company, and I cannot remember their name to save my life.
Well, it's EA now.
Wasn't it BioWare?
BioWare?
BioWare? But they got bought out by somebody else. It's somebody else.
I don't know. BioWare owned by Bethesda. I can't keep track anymore.
Right, I know.
My word.
Anyway,
EA owns BioWare.
What they're saying is that there's interest within the software development company to produce a third game. Now, whether Disney will sign on to that or not is
I just don't know how they'd work, because they already they used that story, those unresolved stories from the first and second game, to make the entire premise of the Old Republic.
Well,
everything in the Old Republic, all the status of the Sith Empire and everything, is all predicated on what happened as a result of the main character in the first game and the main character in the second game. So it's kind of like there were books. There were basically the two games, then a book.
Yeah.
Or was it two books? One book.
Three books.
Revan. Three books. Yeah, three books.
If you count the Revan book.
Yeah. And then the MMO. And so it's kind of like, and a huge part of the MMO is uncovering all of what happened after the books, you know, because this is another, 100 years later or something like that. So it's kind of like fishing out and finding out how did all of this come about.
Well, isn't this like some
of the high level dungeons and
stuff?
Isn't
this something like 20,000 years before the events of the first movie? So, I mean, can't they fast forward 5,000 years and create a new story?
Right. But is it even connected at that point?
I don't know.
Because that's the thing. I mean, the first shot of the second game was the Ebon Hawk, you know, floating derelict in space.
Right.
You know, so I'm kind of like, you know, my initial reaction is, how would it tie in? Like, what's the tie in? What's the thing that makes it Knights of the Old Republic in the way that the first two games were?
Sure. Right.
And I don't know what the answer to that question is. So I go, it depends.
You see how it fleshes out. Again, this is just kind of early stages talking about this. So
right on.
Not much there. All right. Have you guys seen pictures of the new X-Wing online?
Yes.
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 J.J. Abrams has recorded a new video spot for the Force for Change kind of thing that they've got.
The fundraiser thing they're doing for bidding to get in the movie or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah. So if you're not familiar with that, check it out. But in the latest little video clip that he has produced, he's standing. It's a close up shot. He's standing clearly behind or in front of something as the camera pans out. You can clearly see that it is an X-Wing fighter, and at some point it's not an X-Wing that we've seen.
No, a new beat up X-Wing fighter.
Right.
I'm sure it's just a stealth.
It's got the cool thing. It had the blue effects on it as opposed to the red. And they pan out, and a pilot comes up in a red pilot suit, gets up, pops in. So the thing I took away from it, it's clearly different than the X-Wings that we're familiar with from the original trilogy.
Right, because the original X-Wings in the original trilogy had four different engine nacelles, if you will. And this one looks to have combined engines. Right. Like, it looks like two from the front that possibly split or maybe rotate one behind the other, because there's still four exhaust ports sticking out the back.
Well, if you're familiar with Ralph McQuarrie's early sketches.
Right.
It looks almost spot on to one of the early sketches that he did. So it's obviously clearly Ralph McQuarrie inspired.
Right.
And the one that you're talking about, of course, since it's in the resting position, the X-foils the S-foils are not in strike capacity.
Because it's just sitting on the ground.
They're
not locked in attack position.
Like how I threw in the radio effect there?
Nice.
Nice.
But the Ralph McQuarrie one shows that what it would look like if they were extended. So I don't know, kind of cool, man. Seeing the prop there and
it definitely looks like the wings fold behind each other instead of on top of each other, because the blaster cannons, the way they're mounted, it looks like there's a bit of a scissor effect that takes place when they open. Yeah,
I don't know. The Ralph McQuarrie drawings I saw that are based on that.
It splits down the middle. Still... Yeah, I know the McQuarrie ones. I actually have a model of the McQuarrie X-Wing. Yeah, but the way, if you look really closely at the blaster cannons, it looks like they actually, one rests behind the other, and then they stick one up, one sticks up and one sticks down. But where they're attached is actually, they're nested. So it's interesting.
Yeah. If you have not seen it, make sure you pop onto Facebook or Twitter and check it out. It's kind of cool.
Right on.
Again, kind of a neat little... little controlled leak from the Disney people. Yeah.
That's I don't think we can even use the
real
leak
quick
word.
On that no, on that video. Real quick on that video. I think we're missing the most important feature was the mouse droid that was flying by. I think that was telling of a lot.
That was pretty important, wasn't
what
it?
What are you doing here? Yeah.
Of course, so some people, the nerds are going off about the pilot that was climbing in behind him because rumors have been swirling around about this being a personal starfighter of a particular character. Most people believe that it is John Boyega's character that will own the ship. And
isn't John Boyega supposedly playing a
I know this is why it doesn't make sense trooper? To me. Right. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
Maybe he steals it.
He's supposed to be a derelict. He's gone. He's AWOL.
Happens in the movie. So yeah, well, I guess
Well, we don't know that, and we'll get into rumors here in just a second.
Right on. I'm already taking them as fact. Too late. Move along. All right. Move along.
San Diego Comic Con. Any you guys see anything on the Comic Con?
Yeah, there's a lot of hot chicks dressed up in slave layers. That's my favorite. Every year at the Comic Con, I get on the Google and I say slave layer Comic Con. Con 2000 and whatever the heck year it is at that time, and I am never disappointed.
Always.
Mystique is hot. That works for me too. Keep them coming, ladies.
Lots of hot Ahsokas running around now too.
Oh, see, I didn't see any Ahsokas.
Boy.
Oh, busty Ahsokas make you feel dirty.
Yeah,
make you feel straight up dirty.
And of course, we're left hanging with Ahsoka's fate.
Right. Anybody who does watch the Twitter feed closely may have seen that I posted a picture taken by a friend of the show who is a comic book artist, Jeremy Dale. Took a picture of I love crossover costume cosplay.
I do too.
I love when people take one property and mash it with another one. And this is one of the most brilliant ones I ever saw, which was a Boba Fett Evel Knievel. And I just thought, I looked at that. I was like, that is just God bless you for that. Cause who on earth could, you know what this needs? A little bit of evil. Needs a little bit of evil in it. A little bit of red, white, and blue. Oh man, that was marvelous. So I had to put that one out there, but yeah, you know, there, I know the Rebels was present. They had the Rebel show and they showed some stuff.
By all accounts, a hit. They didn't do anything with episode 7 at Comic-Con this year. Everything was Rebels related. And I think everybody was excited about it, but didn't know sure what to think. And apparently the cast showed up in force and, you know, producers, directors, everybody. And it was a big deal.
Well, I've always said that all you need to do to make something successful is let people touch Freddie Prinze Jr. So
he was there. He was there to be touched.
Done and done. So
he turned into like a surfer guy. The way he's talking on the panel, he's like, whoa, dude.
Do you know Freddie Prinze Jr.?
No, apparently I don't.
He's a little California bro.
Oh, okay, bro.
Yeah, he's definitely a dude bro. So that is what it is. The more I see and read about it, because I got to tell you, I've not been that excited about Rebels.
I haven't
moderately, because it's kind of like Clone Wars. I mean, when we got into the 3D Clone Wars, it was like either it was feast or famine. It was great or just kind of like bleh. So, you know, depending on the episode, depending on the content and stuff like that. And at times it was even kind of hard to stick with. But I got to tell you, the more I'm hearing and reading about Rebels, the more I'm actually going like, this is probably something I'm going to enjoy quite a bit.
In the panel they did for the Rebels show, they said a lot of encouraging things, I think, to me. Like they said they were going
to
just...
They turned to the camera and they went, Garrick.
Hey, Garrick, it's going to be okay, buddy.
We can see you.
Yeah, they're all big fans of the show, so...
All your questions will be answered, Garrick.
It was actually the Star Wars Rebels and Garrick panel.
Yeah.
It was basically
them
sitting at a table and Garrick on a screen across the room and everybody else just got to sit and watch them.
Two thumbs up. Yeah. that happened.
Yeah, it wasn't even a screen. Just,
yes, that happened.
Just an 8x10 frame photo.
The story of Rebels is going to only revolve around these central characters. So it's not going to be like the Clone Wars where every week we're going to jump to a different planet.
Really?
Meet a bunch of new people that we're never going to care about.
I'd also like to point out that they've made so all the characters are drastically different, both in behavior and appearance. So we're not going to be watching the same 801 guy.
So you're telling
is
me
it
no
racist
Jar
to say they all look alike? Is the clone?
No, you're telling me no Jar Jar episodes. Is that what you're saying, Garrett?
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
You know, it's easy to rip on the Jar Jar episodes because they suck. But the droids episodes got pretty painful too.
Yeah,
they really did. So, and also, really, it wasn't limited to that. I mean, there was a lot of stuff around Obi-Wan that I was like, this is just not exciting. You know, at times, I'm not saying the majority of it, but I'm just, that show just, it had as many valleys as peaks, I would say, in terms of quality.
I don't know, personally, I mean, because I'm wrapping up my time watching the series now. Yeah. I'm in my last season and a half, and I guess I'm getting kind of upset that I'm not going to see a conclusion to it.
Watch episode 3.
when Ahsoka dies at the beginning.
That's where the Clone War ends. They end in episode 3. Spoiler.
Talking about, come on, the characters that we care about.
Yeah,
what happens to Ahsoka? What happens to Ventress?
Okay. Right.
So they I think die. A lot of people.
Oh, I don't know if you included this in news or not. I don't see it on here. But the Ventress and Quinlan Vos, they're actually creating a novel based on some of the scripts they had for the Clone Wars, which maybe that'll have some closure in it.
There are storylines for seasons that never happened, 7 and 8, and apparently, as Garrick has said, I just saw that today, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And so maybe it will wrap some of that up.
The front cover shows her having hair, so that's interesting.
Ventress?
That
is interesting.
There's a short little maybe side a part going on. Maybe. Where she fights
what
him
else is
and
going
boss.
Well, then she would have dreadlocks.
Yeah.
I guess one last thing. If you haven't seen the new full-length and extended trailer for Rebels, you can find that on YouTube now or through the Twitter and Facebook feeds. But they're starting to post show clips now, too. Just little, like, 1 and 2 minute clips from actual episodes. So. Mm-hmm. So some nice teasers out there. So
it's good. It looks good.
Yeah.
It looks like, honestly, all right, let's be honest. Let's everybody step back. You know what they're trying to channel with this. You know what they're trying to channel with.
Do
Rebels.
I?
Yes, you do. Because as soon as I say it, you go, probably.
Right. I don't.
Firefly.
Firefly.
They are trying to channel. I mean, look at the misfit toys they've put together as the main characters and how they interact with each other. It's basically if Firefly was like one of those old McDonald's Happy Meal toys that was like three cubes together and like on one side is like Ronald McDonald and one side is Birdie and the other side's Hamburglar and then Grimace and the head so that they match up like, oh man, this is Ronald McDonald's body, but he's got Grimace's feet and Birdie's head. This is crazy. That's pretty much what it is. It's like they have one of those of the characters of Firefly and they go, well, what if this one had this one's attitude, but was still the muscle and this one had this one's training? It's there really, really a lot of alignment there. And I feel like you can't really, I mean, you're not going to go wrong fishing in that water because there's Who's Shepherd Book? I am. Follow my lead.
Is it the little droid? Is that?
Yes.
They'll never go into his backstory.
Well, no, but he'll die.
They did. They'll do that in the comics.
All right. So moving on.
Mike's just sitting there waiting for us to get done.
All right. Yeah, no.
All right. You guys have done your.
All right. Also at Comic-Con this week, new announcement about Marvel reviving the Star Wars comics. They've announced three new titles. One will be a general Star Wars title. But one was pretty interesting. There's going to be a storyline based solely on Princess Leia. Kind of cool. Leia, 2015.
Right now.
No, like when Leia. Leia.
Yeah.
Long
good
time
question.
Ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Between which episode? I'm not sure. I think that's yet to be determined.
Okay.
Where in the timeline this is going to fall? But I've seen some of the art that's come out. Actually, we were discussing it a little bit prior to, and looks pretty cool. Kind of hot Leia.
Yeah.
But is Leia
as opposed to what?
Yeah, unhot Leia. Sorry.
I'm guessing pre episode 4 from the pictures.
You think? But
yeah, you think it's teenage Leia?
She still has the hair buns, but they're not fully developed, if you know what I'm saying.
She's got hair nubs?
Yeah.
her buns. She hasn't allowed them to rise. Yeah. Appropriately.
Her buns.
All right. So I'm going to throw this out here, cause this is going to tie into one of the stories that we're going to talk about under the rumor section.
Hair biscuits.
Is the
Danishes.
The fact that females, a lot of people feel like in the Star Wars universe have been underrepresented. So is this Disney's attempt to kind of fill that void? Or do they see a real market for this?
Is what this comics?
Yeah. The Princess Leia comic.
It may be. Will the comic sell? That's the question.
Right.
I don't know.
Female comics sell all the time, right? In other genres.
Not usually as well.
You think? I don't know. I'm not a comic book
and they're usually
like you guys.
Usually, I would say after a following has been developed for that character and the interest is there. Considering we're kind of just now getting back into the comics, I think that it's right to strike now with this kind of thing rather than wait to actually see if they can, you know, re-garner the following. Like regrow the following and then spin it off, because if they don't come out with something like that now, there's going to be complaining. So it's kind of like, all right, let's put it out now and see how it does.
Okay. So I mean, is this more of a move to be politically correct, or is this a move to actually fill a void for a want and a desire for this product?
It's always a business decision. I mean, now that Marvel's owned by Disney, it's always going to be a business decision. Yeah. I mean,
it's all about marketing.
Yeah, and part of it is they I think they realize that there's an untapped market there.
Yeah, yep. See, now, and I'm mm-hmm. this is where I'm going to go right. with this, because it seems to me, at least, I'm 40 years old, so when I was a teenager and in my 20s, that didn't seem to be nearly the female interaction with comic books and
science fiction and all, really, and all that other stuff, than right. a handful of Trekkies.
Right. You know. Now, nowadays, it seems like females.
It's a little more ubiquitous than it used to be.
Yeah, much
but
more.
But they're still not definitely the power consumers for this stuff.
For this, yeah.
But you know what? That's the thing. It's kind of like they don't need the power consumers. It's kind of like, well, let's see if we can sell stuff to them. The big thing is that you'll always sell more of it when it appeals to the dudes. Which is unfortunate, arguably, but also just kind of a reality in this market. So hopefully it'll do well. If it's good enough, the dudes will buy it anyway.
Sure. Right.
You know, it's just that typically they don't sell as well together. When it comes to what the stuff going on in the boardroom, you know, the guys who are actually crunching the numbers and throwing the graphs up on the wall, it's one of those things where I think they're going to be fighting against a tide of some sort. But if they do it really well, if it is a super quality thing, if it does tie in, if it is a labor of love, mm-hmm. that's the thing. It could have been inspired by, we need to tap this market. But if that's all that it ends up being, then I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But if there is someone who's like really going, we need to tell Leia's story. Okay, I know most of her story, so tell me why. What about what you're going to tell me about Leia is something that is going to enhance Star Wars overall for me? Mm-hmm. Because that's how I approach every one of these properties.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't go into any of them just because, oh man, I love Boba Fett, I'm gonna read more about him. It's like, no, so this book is supposed to be really good, then I'll read it. But the same thing with Leia. I'm not gonna be like, oh man, she looks hot on the cover. Oh man, I don't know enough about her. That doesn't matter to me. Right. Tell me you're gonna expand everything overall, make it valuable to me.
Right.
So
yeah, be interesting. I hope you succeed. I really do. Last story we had before we move on, just a quick announcement. We had a couple podcasts ago talked about that George Lucas had chosen Chicago as the location for his new Museum of Narrative Art. And this week we had a report that we will see an opening in 2018.
So 2018.
Not too far away.
That's
Mark
right.
your 2018 calendars.
Yeah.
Well in advance.
Wow.
Get your hotel reserved now, boys.
Actually, I think the 2015's just hit Staples this week. So you might have to put off on marking the. Actually, make a 2018 calendar, then choose.
Hey, hello. If you're use your iCal,
man. Use a 2011 poster, maybe a 2011 calendar, and just put an 8 in there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe the dates will line up. I don't
Garrick's
know.
Using math and stuff on me.
I don't even know if that's going to work.
So anyway, like we've said in the past, being Midwest boys, we're kind of excited about that.
Yeah, flyover state now, huh?
That's right. Well, hey, since we're wrapping up news, we have a new segment that we'd like to introduce to everybody. We're really excited about it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's officially time for the Porkins Bite of the Week.
Oh. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's funky.
Oh,
Did you know the dude what played Porkins also played the dude in Indiana Jones who said top men?
Yeah!
Yeah!
Buddy.
Ow! Oh, man. You can only set your sights to look forward to more of that.
I didn't know that. That's
every week, baby. We're going to bring you a
That's right.
Porkins bite of the week.
That's yeah. Right.
Because that's the thing. That's why people really come to a Star Wars podcast. Right. Is I want to know more about Jack Porkins. Well, Sweet Pea, look no further.
Yeah, ton of Porkins.
Ton of Porkins.
Mama going to fill your belly with Porkins.
Oh, yeah.
You know she is. But if we're done dicking around with that. Why don't we just head right into the toy report, huh? That's right. There it is.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, toys. Garrick.
Yes.
What's going on in the world of toys, friend?
Well, you mentioned the San Diego Comic-Con. I guess that's some little thing they have out there in California where they don't read comics, I guess. It's more of an ironic name.
Are you just talking about because of, from the reporting of Comic-Con, it would appear there's no comics there?
Yes. That's where I was getting at. It just
where all those people hide out west.
I'm so sorry. That fell horribly flat.
That's all right. 90% of my jokes have fallen completely flat.
They call it Comic-Con, but they don't talk about comics.
Nailed it.
Well, what they did talk about was Star Wars.
Toys.
Yeah. Hasbro just unleashed the beast on this Black Series.
Here we go.
A flood of new announcements. What? A rancor? No, I didn't see that.
Unleash the beast.
A wampa.
Oh, nice.
That's the beast they unleashed. Anyway, there's a huge flood of these announcements for their action figures in their Black Series line. So I think I'll just run down a few of my favorites that I saw. Not all of them. If you want to see all of them, there's this thing called the internet. But let's see here. I'll start with the 3 3/4. 3 3/4 action figures, the smaller ones. Yeah. 3 3/4.
Or speaking English, one of the two.
One-fourth less than four.
Yeah.
That's actually easier to say. I'm going to go with that. So they got, here, let's start with this. The Yavin Ceremony Leia, which I don't think I've ever seen. In her pretty white dress.
I'm gonna tell you, you know, as much as the gold slave Leia gets a lot of misogynistic attention.
Ceremony.
The ceremonial white dress.
Yeah.
Pretty,
you know what I'm saying?
Pretty lady. She pretty
yeah,
lady
she
in
is.
That.
It's a well cut dress.
A handsome woman.
Yes.
Indeed.
And then we got Chewie Yavin ceremony, but he doesn't come with a
conspicuously missing a certain
does not come with a medal.
Poor Chewie.
Of all the changes,
why do you think
Lucas
he yells right before the credit sequence?
He does it with your
hand. Where's my medal?
I hate this rebellion.
I need to get a new rebellion.
This damn life debt. What the?
They're also coming out with a John quote unquote Dutch Vanders.
Really?
The gold leader from the Battle
Dutch.
Of Yavin?
Really?
Dutch. Yes. Actually,
I believe it was Dutch Spa.
Dutch Spa.
According to our own rules stated
now,
earlier.
I knew that the Black Series was popular, but Dutch?
Yeah. They're going all out on this one.
I guess.
Well, actually, this settles kind of a long-standing debate with the name of this character, because when you watch the movie, it sounds like they say Hutch. So a lot of people for the longest time thought he was saying Lost Tyree, Lost Hutch.
Right.
But now I guess Hasbro's saying, nope, we're laying it down, dropping the mic. It's Dutch.
Dutch. Biznatch.
Wow.
And then they're coming out with Clone Commander Doom, which I found interesting because I don't remember him from the series.
Clone Commander Doom?
Yes, it's the, he
Is
was
that
actually
toward the end?
Well, he was infected by the same radiation that created the Fantastic Four.
Oh. Yeah. Actually, it's funny that you
mentioned
that.
A lot of people don't realize that.
It's funny that you mentioned that because he is in green and yellow armor and it was inspired by Dr. Doom from the Marvel
PhD?
Universe.
Dr. Doom.
The only stormtrooper with a PhD?
I think it's only honorary from Coruscant Academy.
Oh, I'll see.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations. You spoke at a commencement.
And then here's some of my favorite ones, and I'm going to give these like best of show in my opinion. There was a one, the Jedi Temple Guard. You only see them for a brief time in the prequel movies. They're the ones with the, in the robes with the mask. Do you know
the pikes? Were they holding the pikes?
They're the holding pikes? Actually this one. He's holding a double bladed lightsaber.
Good.
Oh, wait a minute. Describe them. Describe that them again like to me.
Something out of Crimson Empire.
They're in whitish robes. You know, the typical Jedi robe, but they have a longer obi that hangs down a little bit farther.
In what scene do we see them?
I think they're only in the background when they're in the Jedi Temple, if I remember correctly. But they have a mask with...
When they're in the hangar, in the main hangar, you see them?
It might be stationed outside the council chamber. I can't remember. I know they're in there somewhere.
Wow.
They're really cool looking.
Yeah. I posted a picture on our Twitter and Facebook site. All right. It's really cool. And also,
Mike, you should follow the Twitter.
I should. Yeah, you totally should. To
you need to start being more active in our social networking, Mike.
I know. Come on, man.
So here's, I know a while back I said they weren't going to start, they were stopping doing the EU, but apparently that doesn't apply to the video game EU because they announced a few of them that are actually from the video game expanded universe. What?
Kyle Katarn.
They've already released Kyle Katarn.
Screw you! I want more.
if we get the guy in the background with the robes, at least we have a Jan Ors, don't we?
Seriously,
I don't know if Jan's been Jan made. I wish. But the first one, of course, is Darth Malgus.
Okay, Darth Malgus.
So you're big.
I can buy one of those to put him next to my statue and make me
have a little mini Malgus. Yeah, mini Malgus.
Nice.
It's only 1/8 my size. And then Starkiller from the Force Unleashed series. They're also releasing a Starkiller action figure, which is kind of cool.
Really?
Yeah. They've actually released it previously, but I guess they're repackaging it.
I've seen a Starkiller before.
But. Huh. Yeah. But still, they were hard to find. Maybe these will be more prevalent and easy to get your hands on.
I would imagine. How many people actually are like, you know what my action figure collection needs? A dude from those games that don't matter anymore. They're just a flash in the pan. I mean, I enjoyed them, but come on.
And I think my very favorite one of all these, just for the sheer like gall of what they did, is there's an indoor Vader. Not indoor, I'm sorry. Dagobah.
I thought Vader. He said an indoor Vader.
Oh, the Dagobah Vader. Yes, I've heard about this.
Vader's body with
at a much lower frame rate.
His faceplate's blown off, and it's Luke's face in there.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
It looks amazing.
Can you take the head off and lay it on the ground next to
him? Oh, I don't know. They didn't show that.
There needs to be a switch on the back that you can hit so that he just like one foot buckles under and he just teeters over.
Oh,
head rolls off.
Man, if they're putting
Jango Fett's head in Mace Windows, then they need to decapitate Vader.
They need to make him like it should
come with a pack of Strike Anywhere matches so you can actually just melt the armor when you're done with it, make it look like battle scarred.
They need to make it like Manny Faces where you like click the button and
Manny Faces.
Vader mask spins around.
Masters of the Universe reference.
Then you click it again and it spins around and it's the actor that originally played Vader when the mask came off. You click it again and it spins around and it's Hayden Christensen.
Nice.
And you throw it across the room. Oh,
can we get a Jake Lloyd in there?
And it says, Wizards!
Wow. If Hasbro doesn't hire us after this, I don't know what it's going to take.
Seriously.
Push the button on the back. It says, "Are you an angel?"
Okay. So moving on. 6 inches. These are the best 6-inch Black Series action figures. They announced a few ones and ones we've already knew were coming that they've shown for the first time. Ones that we knew were coming that we've mentioned were Han Solo Stormtrooper, and it's pretty much exactly what you think it is. Console with a Stormtrooper.
Wait, back that up.
Yeah, but does he have the binders?
Han Solo Stormtrooper.
So.
I'm struggling with exactly what that would look like in every action figure release they've ever done.
Imagine a Stormtrooper body.
Seriously though, what is with that? You know what? Every time they do a new series, it's kind of like, oh, don't forget the Han Solo and the Stormtrooper armor. because that's everybody's favorite look on him. That's the one, because you can't act out the first movie if you don't have Han Solo. It's like, I need a Biggs Darklighter. No. You need Han Solo in Stormtrooper armor. I need Admiral Azzel. Hold the phone. We haven't even done Han Solo in Stormtrooper armor this year. You know? Oh, yeah. My word.
It's been done a few times before.
Yeah, it sure Wait. Do we have Luke in Stormtrooper armor yet?
That's a funny thing. No, you get him about half as often as you get Han in Stormtrooper.
You get Luke in the Jedi Blacks. Return of the Jedi Blacks, though. That's coming out. And then Boss, we mentioned before, but they went in a little detail. His jaw actually moves, and I guess his tongue. You can actually manipulate as well.
Comes out, yeah. So that's what everybody wants to do when they're playing with Bosk.
Right.
Yeah.
Pull his tongue out.
I want to see the fully articulated tongue that wasn't in the movie.
And then they're re-releasing a Sand Trooper, but they're having him in the black pauldron instead of the orange one.
You know what really happened? You know why they're doing that Bosk with the articulated tongue? Because they were working on the Jar Jar before someone actually stopped them.
No.
I was like, look, we made a Jar Jar and his tongue sticks out. It's like when he licks the electricity from the pod racer. It's great. And somebody goes, are you freaking kidding me?
You're fired.
You're fired. You take whatever he did and make it work. Okay.
I just wonder when they're going to do Boss Nass.
Do Trandoshans have tongues? Oh. Sure. Get out of my office.
And then the new ones they announced. They announced one new one that we hadn't heard about was the TIE Pilot, which is really cool. Yeah. And then they had a teaser.
They save
a lot of
money on paint with the TIE Pilot.
Yeah.
I want an A-wing pilot. That's what I want. The guy with the red.
Yeah.
Tycho Selchu.
Yeah, that's thank you. Yep. Garrick, you are like the only other person I know that knew.
You can claim that Tycho is EU, but technically I can
see
him.
He's in Return of the Jedi.
They've made an action figure for him, actually.
Have they?
Awesome.
Yeah, I have it. It's awesome.
Okay, you have it?
I
have it.
Yeah, I do. It's upstairs.
I'll have to be revisiting Garrick's collection in a couple of weeks.
And then they did the TIE Pilot, yeah. And then they did a teaser for an Emperor 6-inch action figure. They don't have any images of it. They just kind of teased it at the end of the panel they were doing at.
The Emperor's mysterious. Like,
all right, here's a question for you guys. Here's a question for you guys. Preferences. Hard plastic robe, cloth robe, or rubber-like-ish robe?
They've already announced it's cloth, so.
I don't know. I'm asking preference.
Okay.
Action figure preferences.
Cloth, but better than what they normally do.
Yeah.
What do they normally do?
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, like cloth, but maybe not velvet. The stuff that's so thick that it looks like you just like taped your sleeve to its head.
Maybe, yeah, like the old.
Maybe
yeah.
some velour.
Oh, right. Something like on the back to give it some.
The problem with cloth is they just can't get it heavy enough because it's just this tiny little piece of thing.
Right.
Well, it's just awful.
Yeah.
I'd rather have
these
the rubber.
Are 6 inches, Howie. These are huge.
Yeah.
That's not going to matter. If you don't take it out of the package, Howie, come on.
Come on. Come on.
You're losing 90% of the value.
Give me a rubber and I'm all right.
Whoa.
Okay.
Moving on. Okay.
Don't you wish someone had done that to you 5 months ago?
Booyah!
Got him. Howie's wife is getting ready to give birth any minute. So.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the time.
All right, moving
He's
on.
He's watching
then.
His phone to light up any second.
So they didn't show a C-3PO, which I know in the past we announced that they were coming out with, and they have the SKU number for it. They're taking pre-orders online, which is kind of surprising. They wouldn't even show it at a Comic-Con. It's coming out in October. Because some of these things aren't coming out till February.
I mean, there's some mystery with Palpatine, but why not show 3PO? I don't.
That kind of got me. So
I wonder
maybe
what it'll look like.
Is it going to look like
3PO? Gold, like a 3PO?
Is it going to be? Is it going to be 3PO from Revenge of the Sith?
Right. Maybe you can take his armor off so he can walk around naked.
Phantom Menace 3PO. He's only going to be posable in puppet form, puppet poses. Like, why does he look like he's constantly suspended from his elbows and shoulders? Shut up.
Oh, man. Put him back. Who cares? As long as you can manipulate his tongue. Okay. And then they announced
3PO keep us saying Misa Bombad, whatever.
He speaks Gungan, I guess.
Yes. Well, he's fluent in over 6 million forms of communication.
There you go. See? So then they announced two more deluxe, which these are the bigger ones, the $40 packages that include a figure and maybe something else. They had one that was Luke and the Wampa. the Wampa's arm is able, you can remove it.
Right.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Lop it off.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. The Wampa, his face is just like covered in blood.
Nice. My next question was going to be, does it come with like a bunch of meaty slop you can chew on?
So what you're saying, it's special edition Wampa is what you're saying.
Yeah. It's a special edition blood Wampa. And then they're releasing a Target exclusive, the Shadow Squadron, which includes the speeder bike, a Shadow Scout, and a Shadow Trooper.
Those are the black ones, right?
Yeah, all black Scout Trooper, all black bike, all black Stormtrooper type guy. So those are kind of cool, but the best one, I think, is a Han Solo and Tauntaun.
I thought you were going to say Han Solo in Stormtrooper armor.
Han Solo and Tauntaun. With a Tauntaun, and he has Stormtrooper armor on for some reason.
Does the Tauntaun have Stormtrooper armor?
Continuity error there, but what are you going to do? There.
And, of course, everybody needs to know, can we cut him open and our blood and guts going to spook?
You can. There's a hatch on the front.
When you cut him open, a little doll of Jamie Heineman comes rolling out from Mythbusters.
You can actually recreate the scene from Empire where Han Solo cuts. Although he doesn't come with a lightsaber, which I was kind of disappointed with.
You got to buy Luke for that.
Yeah, you got to buy them both.
Are you going to find passed out Luke in the snow? You know, covered in snow.
Then your mother walks in and you're trying to jam one action figure into the butt of another action figure, and she gets real worried about what you're up to. When she's
They smelled bad on the outside. Oh Lord!
Oh Lord! Lord. This child. I'm calling the pastor. But it totally does have like the hatch.
Yeah,
it has
a hatch on the front, and they haven't seen any pictures yet of what's inside. But there has been an announcement from
Nickelodeon
Hasbro
Flow.
Or someone who knows Hasbro that said there's some sticky crap in there. That's kind of
good to make your Luke to give your Luke figure a nice like uncomfortable rubbery nastiness.
Yeah, I hope it smells really really awesome too. Yeah.
There's kids huffing Tauntauns.
Oh
it's
man,
the
that's good
craze.
Guts. That's good guts.
Oh man, I found 3 Tauntauns on the clearance shelf at the Walmart. Dude, let's go back by the dumpster and get high. Poking their finger in the little tummy hole.
Do you bring the tea, man? Do you bring the tea?
I got the double tea right here, boy.
But that's Hasbro for you. They're pretty good. And then there's another. Good. I'm not sure if this is Hasbro, but one of the little things I thought was worth mentioning is they're coming out with the Star Wars. It's called Star Wars Command. It's actually just little army men like we used to play with back in the day, little green army men, but with Star Wars and vehicles and. It's pretty cool.
Oh, hey. All right. That's
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of into that.
Yeah.
We'll throw that out on the table for a role-playing campaign.
I saw they had eight.
Spend $2 for like 500 of them.
Yeah,
oh, no. Not? No, it won't have the same pricing that the old dime store
are. Premium pricing.
You misunderstand.
We've got Disney pricing.
No, they're just as easily destroyed, and they make no, you know, cost no money to make them, but I'm sure they'll cost them.
Man, when I was six, I would have killed for Star Wars Army, man.
Seriously.
They got AT-ATs. They got some of the
how did they not
TIE
think
fighter
of that?
X-wing. I don't know.
Seriously, thinking about that. I mean, we
so
grew up
easy.
In the 80s. You know,
who's thought of? You know, I recently bought a bunch at the dollar store, and my daughter plays with them every now and then. And I got like a fireman and policeman set, and I got a cowboys and Indians set. And I was looking at them, and I realized these are probably the same dyes they used to make these things.
Has to be.
That they've been using since, like, the 40s.
Has to be.
Because they've been used so many times that, like, some of them are flattened out to almost nothing at all. They're all, like, ridiculously skinny and, you know, and I'm just like, nobody has done this. Like, the same company's been doing this forever. Maybe when Toy Story came out, someone else got in the Army Men specifically business. But I'm like, holy cow, this is something that.
Well, Disney's muscling in on that business.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
When do I get my own the Army Men market? You don't own nothing.
When do I get in on the Marvel superhero crossover little plastic things that get caught in your toes and cause you to curse and jump up and down?
These are called Hero Clicks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about those.
And then there was a little excitement over the internet, and then it was quickly squashed. The Slave One model. Was actually packaged with a Rebels logo on it. So a lot of people were like, oh, Boba Fett's going to be in Rebels. But If you look at the bottom, it says from episode 5. That was worth a mention. Yeah. See, you like that where I brought you up and then threw you down on the ground?
Yeah. That's my favorite thing.
Thanks.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing ever, actually.
Hey, guys.
So glad you did that.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
You like that scene in Empire when they're freezing hand in carbonite?
Right.
You like that scene?
Oh, man. Every time I stand
how would you like to act that out with your own Vader, your own Fett, and your own hand? In carbonite.
In your own hand? What?
Yeah.
Does a young Carrie Fisher come up and make out with me for a second?
Yeah. No.
I'm in.
Maybe. Okay.
Well, do I get to take an Ugnaught home with me?
Sideshow Toys is actually releasing life-size Vader, or they've already released them. Life-size Vader, life-size Fett, and life-size Han and carbonite.
Life-size.
Life
you
know, size.
Wow. Garrett, what I think size. You meant to I think you
one
meant
to one
this,
ratio size.
I think you meant to lead this whole topic off with, hey, do you want your children to die of fright? I don't think that's what you meant to say.
I was gonna leave it off with, hey, you guys like making monthly payments to things? Well, you're in luck.
Hey, you guys like bank financing? You like personal interest loans?
Well, we are the podcast for you. Yeah.
Call now.
Hey, friend, how much do you hate your kids and wallet?
All right, how much are we going to fork out for these things?
All right, here's what you're going to fork out. You want Vader? $8,000.
How many thousands?
8,000.
$8,000.
For just $719 a month, you can own them after 13 months. But there's
all that. Right, well, okay.
That's half the Chevy Malibu.
But his arms and hands are fully...
Now, wait a minute. What's to stop me from buying?
These are really cool looking.
Picking up a mannequin and just buying a Vader suit and putting it on him. That can't cost $8,000.
You don't know that.
The Vader suit might cost a couple few grand.
You don't know that.
And you don't know what kind of back channels you have to get that mannequin through. But so Fett,
compared to that, Fett, you can get for a song for $7,500.
Oh, wow.
It's the extra glossy paint they have to spray onto the Vader. That's why. Yeah. Fett's a matte finish.
Han is practically a steal for $7,000.
No, wait. Is this Han pre carbonite or post carbonite?
No, this is Han in carbonite.
We get him in the block of carbonite. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. See, I thought it was just him like standing with his face up and wincing. At first, I was thinking, well, it must be cheaper because they're just repurposing Japanese real dolls. give this one a prominent chin. And cut its hair. It's Han Solo. Congratulations. There you go.
So to act out your favorite scene from Empire Strikes Back, it will only cost you $22,497.
Plus tax. He's worth a lot to me.
And shipping.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. That's...
That's going to be hot on the Christmas.
You don't
Christmas.
Even have a buxom Carrie Fisher to come up and give somebody some tongue. That's not cool.
Oh, I know.
What'd you say, Garrick? Christmas is right around the corner.
That's right.
On the upside, the Boba Fett has an articulated tongue, so you got that going for you.
Yeah.
Life-size articulated
tongue. That's worth at least $1,000 right there.
I know.
There we go. There's the wish list.
Well, I think that brings us around then to a new segment that I think we're going to be a new repeat segment that we'll be doing in future podcasts, and we're going to kick it off right.
Star Wars Fan of the Week.
Fan of the Week?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Prime Minister Winston Churchill. When 900 years old, look as good, you will not. A statement of which I often remind my children when the situation warrants. I've no shame in professing my fanaticism for the Star Wars. I recall fondly when first I saw it. We were celebrating my 102nd birthday with an advanced screening in what was previously an air raid shelter beneath Sandringham House. The Queen, still plump and ripe at only 51 and already 25 years a widow, had extended a personal invitation to view what she described as a groovy new space flick with wicked robots. Softened by age and ever fond of the affections of notably amorous and exceptionally available women, I accepted without pause. I had unfortunately missed the opening text exposition as I was wrestling a fourth go-go boot of brandy from Her Majesty's tenuous and cat-like claws, so I found myself hopelessly lost for the first half of the film. However, naturally, I was most enamored with Sir Alec Guinness, who had once reached out to me for advice in regard to portraying Adolf Hitler for a film entitled Hitler, The Last 10 Days. I said, Alley Cat, as he was often known at the time, if you want to capture the brooding, enigmatic spirit of our Hitler, spend 7 hours white-knuckling the inside lane of the roundabout at Parliament Square after injecting a triple hit of heroin into the whites of your eyes. I don't know if ultimately Alec capitalized on that guidance, but I was later informed that he became prone to picking fights with the catering lorries during filming and went so far as to stab Julian Glover between takes with a handmade knife fashioned from equal parts cardboard and his own feces. I'm sure Julian was none too thrilled, but after the infection resolved, he was offered recompense via the role of General Veers in The Empire Strikes Back. However, you may notice the good General and Obi-Wan never appeared in any scenes together. No doubt a factor insisted upon by then-sober and vengeance-fearing Sir Alec. However, I digress. Once Her Majesty was appropriately limp and passed out on a transparent beanbag chair filled with cheese-flavored popcorn, I furrowed my brow and dug in my heels, finding myself quite fond of this tale of a young boy with the latent ability to save the galaxy, with which I directly identified. Being born of accomplished lineage to a great and powerful, if not somewhat absent father, whose ethics were often the target of critics and lambasters alike. However, only the conspiracy theorists would sincerely compare my father to Darth Vader, and frankly, the slaughtering of innocent younglings and the alleged disemboweling of prostitutes are at the very least miles apart. I've often been asked if I took any kind of offense to the fact that the evil empire bore resemblance to our own empire, both in poise and in parlance. To that I say, nonsense. I was, after all, granted an honorary citizenship by U.S. President Kennedy, so as far as this old redcoat is concerned, that makes me just as much one of the good guys. In closing, I'd like to point out that I've notably said, it is always wise to look ahead, but difficult to look further than you can see. The reason for this, of course, is quite simple. In the words, wise words, of one small green puppet, always in motion, the future is. I thank you. Now pour me another damned whiskey.
Star Wars Fan of the Week.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there he is.
It's something for all ages, really.
It is.
It is.
You know, never pigeonhole the love for this beloved franchise. So
it's amazing.
It is. It is. Ah. And wow, he was really kicking around for quite a while, wasn't he?
He was, man. That's something else.
Yeah, and the memory on that guy, I tell you.
Oh yeah.
Where's he been? Yeah. I haven't seen him in the news.
Oh, I think he passed away in the last couple of years or so. Real tragedy. Real tragedy. People just wailing in the streets. So anyway, hey, you know what that does? That brings us around to everybody's favorite time of the night. Time to talk about some rumors.
Rumors.
What's going on? It's a segment so wild we don't even have theme music for it.
Oh, we don't?
No, not at all.
Oh, I thought we did.
Oh, right. It will be there.
Oh.
If someone makes it, okay.
It's going to be there.
Rumors. Yeah.
You guys are hearing it. We're not. All right. Rumors. All right, man. We have some wild stuff this week that's kind of come out. So
Hit me good.
All right. Well, we'll start with some of the smaller ones and then hit the big stuff, man. So the first one, Simon Pegg, he keeps popping up, man. He keeps popping up.
I know. He's like a bad penny. He's like a bad British penny. He's a bad British penny.
Exactly. Well,
they got those, right?
Yeah.
Here we go. Actually,
they're called farthings. I don't know if that's true.
All right. Well,
it probably was at some point.
Within the last couple of weeks, Benedict Cumberbatch
from Sherlock
and
The Hobbit
and
Star Trek
and
everything.
So he's worked with JJ, right?
Right.
All right. So he's doing an interview, and during the interview, he was supposedly in talks with being in episode 7. He knows JJ, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Suddenly all those talks stopped, and he was out of it. So somebody was interviewing him last week, and he said something to the effect of, and don't quote me on this, I'm not going to get it exactly right, but no, I'm not in the film, you know, especially with since Simon's, working and, and he mentioned Simon Pegg again, and and the report that I heard through MTV.com was, did Cumberbatch just let the cat out of the bag, just kind of with a passing comment.
The cat that had shredded the entire bag and only had about 3 inches of it still stuck in its collar at this point. Did he just remove the final 3 inches of bag?
Right. Everybody's been talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. Right. So, but in the wake of this interview, it had kind of come out that that he might be doing not a cameo role, but actually a role where he actually voices a character, a CGI character.
Ooh, right.
So
an Andy Serkis character?
Different sin? I don't know.
If you put those together, Andy Serkis and Simon Pegg,
the voice of Andy,
you create
Serkis.
Some sort of super actor.
They're going to overlay the audio of Simon Pegg and Andy Serkis.
I like to think it'll be Andy Serkis actually just standing up and playing a normal role, but then voiced by Simon Pegg.
Or maybe
he's not Simon actually Pegg. Mo-capped, or he's mo-capped with an Andy Serkis animation.
Or maybe
they've actually made Andy Serkis and they're having him mo-cap for Andy Serkis.
Maybe Simon Pegg will just be on Andy Serkis's shoulders.
Yeah, I like that idea. Maybe Andy Serkis is playing Jabba the Hutt, and Simon Pegg is the voice of Salacious Crumb.
So anyway, a little bit different twist on the Simon Pegg rumors than we've heard. So okay, we talked about this a few weeks ago. We talked about stunt casting and is that appropriate and what do you guys think? And I think the general consensus was if it's kind of backgroundy, we thought, we're fine with that,
right.
Not a big deal. Okay. So with this new twist, are you guys accepting of that? If he actually has a role, but it's not Simon Pegg on screen, it's just his voice.
I'd still be fine with Simon Pegg on screen, but yeah, I got no problem with the voice and the character.
I kind of
especially if it's like a blender.
Is he going to do like a really really hilarious? Let's back up.
A blender.
He's the voice of a blender.
Yeah,
I can see that. I guess
he's a blender droid. He's a blender droid. He just kind of rolls up. Who wants juice?
I mean, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Exactly. That's what he is. He's a bartending blender droid. I love it. I love it. No, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's weird because usually in Star Wars, if you're an alien, you have some type of offensive accent. At least if the prequels have anything to say about it. And I mean, really, the original movies to a lesser extent as well. So I'm kind of thinking it'll freak me out if there's like a little like weird alien that also just has like a lovely British purr to him. That Simon Pegg also has. Of course, Simon Pegg can do accents. He's doing, he's Scotty.
Yeah.
And so maybe he's got some other tricks in his bag that we haven't heard yet. So maybe he'll just come flapping out, flap. Jupiternalia.
Might kind of make sense if that's the case. So I don't know. Interesting. So next one we had came out this week. To me, there's not much to this, but I'm going to spit it out and see what you guys think. So anyway, for some reason, Zack Snyder, there's mixed feelings about Zack here in this room.
I have mixed feelings about Zack here in my brain.
I was going to say, I have mixed feelings about him myself because there's stuff he's done that I like and there's stuff that I'm like, what the heck?
Yep.
So anyway, so Zack Snyder, for some reason.
Zack Snyder.
Freudian slip.
You like muscle shirts and stubble.
Zack Snyder.
Neener, neener,
you
neener.
Think he's sexy.
So Zack Snyder, for some reason, took to Twitter.
Every week Mike drops a tweeter on us. I look forward to it.
He took to Twitter a couple of weeks ago.
The tweeting grounds.
For some reason, he photoshopped or somebody photoshopped for him a picture of Henry Cavill, who played Superman in his Man of Steel movie, with a Jedi robe and a lightsaber with the hashtag Super Jedi. This came out and I saw it and I was like, okay, whatever. He's being good. I don't know why he's doing this.
Look, the internet.
Anyway, it was goofy. So about a week went by, and then suddenly I'm seeing more reports popping up that, oh, Henry Cavill, he's going to be in episode 7. He's got a role. He's in it.
Right.
You know, now, Cavill, of course, is British, and there's a big British cast for episode 7. So I think maybe that was fueling some of this. I don't know.
He's one of the many British actors these days who have a spot on American accent. Like,
he does. I couldn't tell.
A whitewashed American accent.
Right. I didn't know until I kind of looked him up. So, but thoughts on this? Do you care? I mean,
oh, look, the internet. That's how I feel about it.
I'm just. It just weirds me out that why Zack Snyder, you know, would do this. I mean, he's in the middle of doing his Batman and Superman thing,
jerking around with people.
Is it a point? I mean, because obviously there's a lot of talk. You know, Star Wars. You know, what's going to be the bigger movie?
You know what Batman, it is. Superman. You know what it is. Three dudes sitting in a room on leather couches between takes, between shoots, and one of them's like, "Dude, bro, I dare you to do this." I dare you. Hey, post this. Check out this picture. Post this on your Twitter account. See what happens, dude. This is going to be hilarious. Oh, man, I don't want to. Okay. Yeah, right. You know, yeah, exactly.
Hollywood. Okay,
now I'll do it. Now I'll do it. Now I'll do it. I got a little powdered courage. They're just messing with people. Unfortunately, more than anything, what I get from this is that I want to find all the little people that are going, "Whoa, what does it mean? What is it? How does this affect me in my life?
Are you kidding me, man?
How does this affect my walk?" And just kind of gather them all up and give them their meds. That's where I'm at. I'm just kind of like, come on, guys. You're making us all look bad. You're scaring the straights.
This is the genre we've chosen, Corey.
It may not be the genre I want, but it's the genre I need.
Okay, so
for the genre I deserve.
Not much there. I tend to agree. It just weirds me out that he would do that.
It's Twitter. Anybody can do anything.
Well, I get that, but
you think he's the kind of guy who wouldn't think it's funny to mushroom stamp up like his number one fan's eye?
But I mean, the guy's working for a big studio and he's producing a big movie and blah, blah, blah.
Nah.
It's like, it just seems like did he get Mike's meds? Let's just put it this way. You're not going to see J.J. Abrams do something like that.
No, oh, I'm sorry. J.J. Abrams has class. I don't get that from Zack Snyder. Oh. I get that he's a little bit of a D-bag. That's kind of what I get from him. I'm not saying he is. I'm really just saying that I think he is. I don't know. I've never hung out in a room. I've never been in a room where he's, you know, drunkenly ruining the night for everybody else from across the room. I'm never probably going to be within miles and miles of Zack Snyder, but every time I see him on camera interview, I just, like, you know, I'm staring just daggers at him. I'm like, I don't like you. You are not one of us.
I can smell
my own, and he don't smell right, boy.
Yeah, I don't know. Just weirded out by the whole thing. So anyway, next one we had that popped up, and this kind of goes back to Benedict Cumberbatch a little bit.
I hope we can get through this podcast saying his name like 10 or 12 times.
You like that?
Yeah, because it actually pads out the length of the podcast.
Will he appear if you say it enough? See, like Beetlejuice?
three times in a row.
Cumberbatch.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it worked.
He's wearing the hat. No.
That would be the greatest thing ever. Actually, that's a YouTube video that's pretty much dying to be made. Cumberbatch, man.
So anyway,
Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch, as I mentioned in the previous report.
Sorry.
You guys, settle down. Cumberbatch, as we previously reported, was in talks to be in episode 7. Everybody thought it was kind of a sure thing. It seemed to make sense. You know, very popular right now.
I believe that he should be in every movie.
Well, I agree.
That's where I'm at.
Not episode 7. It's, I know, not going to happen.
Well, I still believe he should, but still.
He should do a voiceover.
Suddenly all the talk dropped. He's out, and suddenly Gwendolyn Christie is in. So this has sparked some rumor about, was the Gwendolyn Christie hire
a female rewrite of a role that would have otherwise been male for Cumberbatch.
Right.
Those two could definitely play similar characters.
Let me preface this
on
because
other, you know, opposite sides of the genitalia line.
Around this time, there was, and I hate this, and I hate bringing the politics side of into this, but there was supposed outrage when the cast, the iconic cast picture came out, you know, of the sit down, you know, with all, you know, the Andy Serkis and Hamill and Ford and everybody sitting down, and everybody conspicuously, well, I shouldn't say everybody, the people that choose to be outraged about things like this, pointed out, oh, well, there's only two females in this cast, and what, you know, that's crap and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's so, mathematically accurate. Different galaxy.
So anyway, there was a lot of, and I don't want to say rage. I call it internet rage because people can take to Twitter, like you're saying before, and say anything right. they want. And
I'm going to be furious for the next 140 characters. And then I forget.
So some people are saying that this was a purposeful rewrite of this character to appease the crowd that were crying foul that we don't have enough female characters in the movie.
Don't matter.
I don't know.
Here's why it doesn't matter, because Gwendolyn Christie's good casting.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I agree.
Hypothetically, Cumberbatch was going to play an Imperial officer and they rewrote it for Gwendolyn Christie. You know what? Yeah. Those two are both, you know, tall, strong presences with, you know, very regal appearances and, you know, can play, you know, and posture.
Right.
Right. I mean, I don't know the full range of what they can do because I've seen them in very few roles, but I like them both a lot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, all right, yeah, let's roll. Let's move it. So
yeah, I didn't even give that two thoughts. And even when I heard first that it was rewritten for her, I was just like, okay. Cool, because she fits. Yeah, and we even said it when we first heard that she was cast. Everybody was just like, yeah.
Well, the first thing I said was Imperial officer.
You did, right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She exudes that.
If she doesn't fight with a lightsaber, that's a crime. I mean,
because she's a good handle with a sword.
Well, it's in here. You're bringing this up. Okay, now, the further rumors about this are her role, and what is that role? So, what we've heard, what people are speculating is that Gwendolyn Christie's role, well, we've stated in other reports that.
Oh, no, we were the first ones to say it on our podcast.
Yeah, we broke it.
Yeah, that's true.
Straight up broken the fame right there.
On the Fly Casual podcast. You're right. Yeah. We were the first to say it on this podcast.
That's right.
If we put it on Twitter,
no one beat
it's
us
true.
To it on this podcast.
Tweet it. It's true.
On our last cast, we talked about some of the rumors regarding John Boyega's character and Daisy Ridley's character.
Right.
We're hearing that they're going to start their journey on Tatooine or a desert planet, and that they're going to be together, and that John
Boyega is,
know what I'm saying?
That's yet to be seen. Dirty anyway, desert. John Boyega is rumored to be a Imperial deserter of some sort.
Yes.
They have some latent force capabilities.
Right.
And that Daisy Ridley's character was dispatched to retrieve him.
Right.
So that's what we've heard now. So since he's a deserter, we're hearing that Gwendolyn Christie's character is actually an Imperial officer of some sort that has been dispatched to bring him back.
Right.
So so that sounds like what her character is going to be. So initially, when those reports came out, no thoughts of, oh, you know, a Sith of any sort or, you know, she's not going to be wielding lightsabers.
Nope, well, Jedi Bounty now, Hunter. I'm calling
well,
it. Garrick, Jedi Bounty Hunter.
Garrick?
Yes.
Take it easy, man.
Oh, man.
Because
down boy.
Now there are rumors that Gwendolyn Christie has been working out with lightsabers.
What?
Yes.
She's going to go Grievous on these behind.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, so there might Grievous? Be more to Gwendolyn Christie's character than he wasn't a Force user.
Nope.
He just wasn't a bounty hunter either. He wasn't a bounty hunter.
Well, no, I was referring specifically to a non-Force using lightsaber.
So anyway, I mean, it really sounds like Gwendolyn Christie's character is going to be, I mean, if what we're hearing is true, is going to be a substantive character in this new trilogy.
Right. Well, and I don't think they would have ever been talks with, if it were to be the same character they were writing for Benedict Cumberbatch, I don't think they would have ever been in talks with Cumberbatch to play a small role, like a very small role. I could see a secondary, but not a tertiary or smaller. He is the hottest thing going right now in terms of popularity and, you know, and the fact he's still not mainstream enough that his career can still skyrocket. They can still take him and put him in things and do whatever they want, you know? So he's a hot commodity right now. I got to think that's going to be substantial.
Do it. He is.
Make it good. Don't be shy.
Yeah.
Pop that beer.
Fourth wall, man.
Wait.
What?
All right.
Ride that silver bullet.
Okay, you guys ready for the weirdness now? Because we're going to get into the weird stuff.
Oh, really?
Here we go.
Announcements today.
Just now? Wait, just now?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff wasn't weird. All right.
Should I have pants on for the rest of this podcast? I thought I was supposed to have them off the whole time.
Okay, Devin Ferrasi at Badass Digest has broken some news. Yes, there's a website called Badass Digest.
I go to them traffic and news.
You do?
Yeah.
Up to date. Good traffic and news.
Yeah, sometimes they do weather and traffic together. Traffic and weather
they together. They also have a recipe of the week, which is nice too. Today was quiche souffle.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Ferrasi at Badass Digest has broken some news. At first, when I first read this, I'm like, oh, this is so ludicrous that I just can't believe it. But I've listened to some podcasts and read some other reports that this Devin Ferrasi he's broken some, you know, some stuff before that's turned out to be pretty, he's got a pretty good track record. He's not just some schmuck out there.
What's this?
All right,
not
here we go. Well,
for us?
What we're hearing is the actual, apparently he's got a lot of information that he's not sharing, but what he has shared is what he believes to be the opening scenes for the movie. Okay. So
news flash. It starts with a long time ago.
That's right.
Oh. Galaxy far, far away.
After we get to that point and we go through the scroll. Okay, so we get through the scroll, and in most of the films, we drop down, we see a starfighter, you know, or a planet of some sort.
Right.
This time, we are hearing reports that we're going to drop down, and we're going to be seeing a severed hand floating through space, clutching a lightsaber. Okay?
Why?
I don't know. I'm going to get through this, and then you can ask your questions, okay? So let's get the weirdness out of the way. So it's floating through space. And then at some point,
is it moving?
It is moving through space.
Is it waving? Like holding the lightsaber with its thumb and kind of like doing a little jazz hand twinkle with its fingers?
I think it's doing calisthenics.
Yes. You know,
it's,
you ever seen that Vincent Price movie where that dead hand just keeps following him everywhere?
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking for.
The Addams Family?
That's the one. That's the Vincent Price
all
movie.
Right. So here's where it gets kind of goofy. So it's floating above a planet and goes through re-entry and lands on a desert planet.
Gently. It fires its thrusters.
Gently.
Switching over to turbo, you know.
Okay. All right.
We've engaged repulsors. Lower the docking thumb.
So after we've made re-entry and landed on the desert planet, on a planet, it just so happens that John Boyega and Daisy Ridley.
Right.
Oh, look, there's a hand over there laying in the sand. So we're going to walk over to it. And we're going to pick it up. Look!
That hand's totally flipping me off. In my mind, it's like a crater 6 miles wide. You know, it makes the crater that Mjolnir landed in Thor look like nothing.
Nice.
You know what I mean? It's like 6 miles wide, and there's a little dirt mound and some fire, some random coals of fire. Around it, and the hand's just sitting there with his middle finger straight up in the air, just, you know, sitting with its wrist down.
Oh, man.
Lightsaber charred gently next to it. Yeah.
I think we just wrote Spaceballs 2.
Yes. Oh, yes. We need to get on that.
All right. So here we go. Continuing the weirdness. They find this severed hand and this lightsaber, and they recognize it as a Jedi artifact. And they decide, you know what? We need to return this to the Jedi. So what we're going to do is we're going to hop in this ship and we're going to go find Han Solo and Chewbacca. So they hop in a ship and they go find Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Because those guys will help.
They know how to get to the Jedi, right?
Right.
Sure, I guess.
So they find Chewbacca and Han Solo not in the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
Huh?
Not in the Millennium Falcon.
Gambling.
Are
deaths.
They in the Moldy Crow?
I don't know what they're. Maybe they're in the Lady Luck.
They're in the Outrider.
Oh, there you go. The Outrider. Oh, yeah. He's dead now.
And,
he
an upgrade, man. They go up to Han and Chewie and they say, hey, look what we found in the sand down on this desert planet. And they say,
flopping this hand around.
Yeah. Mike's actually, while he's saying that, waving his arm around. Like they're just like swinging a hand around, you know, like the
bits
waving
and pieces
it up
are flying off.
Keep, can I get another Corellian brandy? You know?
Yeah, okay. Just put the hand down, please.
Okay. Okay, so they show it to Han and Chewie, and Han goes
using it as a hood ornament on their G95 head.
Just duct tape it on there. Yeah. Oh, okay. So they show it to Han, and Han's like, "Hey, I know that lightsaber. That's Luke Skywalker's." And oh, by the way, we haven't seen Luke Skywalker for 30 years.
Wow.
I would do one more.
Is it his mechanical hand then?
And a couple of stormtroopers are standing there, and she's waving the stump hand in their face, going, "These are not the droids you're looking for." But just waving the stump hand around.
It's a Jedi hand.
It's a Jedi hand. It's gonna work. It's imbued with the Force. There's midichlorians just leaking out.
No, stop.
He said midichlorians.
No.
Here we go. Okay, so. So after they show Han this severed hand and this lightsaber.
They show Han the hand.
Onto the hand. And they decide, they're like, you know what? Hand. Since you got this lightsaber, we're going to go find Luke. We haven't seen him in 30 years, but let's go find him.
I know where he's at.
So, he lives about 2 blocks down. No, we just never see him.
No, he's halfway across the galaxy in prison somewhere or half dead or something. But Han hands the hand.
Does it point the direction?
He hands it to Chewie. He goes, "Here, boy, sniff."
Okay, so they embark on their quest, and that's been...
Chewie says this way, "Luke's trapped in a well." Really far away, though.
So that's where it ends. That's where this guy ends his reporting saying he doesn't want to give any more away, that this is probably too much and blah, 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 blah. So, and then the only other, there was one other piece to this that he revealed or that has been revealed. I'm not sure if it was him or somebody else and it was corroborated by him. I can't remember. Anyway, another piece of the movie is that nefarious forces are constructing a new super weapon on an ice planet. And this weapon does not destroy planets. Rather, it destroys entire solar systems.
Oh, so it's a Sun Crusher.
Sun Crusher.
Sun Crusher, done.
Nailed it.
Kip Duran, got him.
Yeah.
It's a little upside down scooter that shoots solar system destroying.
So torpedo. The EU is not dead, right? I mean, this is straight from the EU,
there,
right?
Yeah.
There you
go. So. Let me guess, it fires something into the sun that causes it to go supernova, and that destroys the entire solar system. Sorry, I've been down this road before.
The EU is kind of like that knight in Monty Python. Not dead yet.
Yeah. Just but a scratch.
Yeah, just keep lopping off pieces of it, but it keeps coming back like that bad farthing.
Okay, so with all this said, let's open it up for discussion here. I mean, obvious stuff.
Well... Mike, I actually read all this prior to this, and I wrote something up here.
How dare you do research outside of this podcast?
I wrote a response to this, and it's really short, and I think it's quite elegant in what I have to say.
I can't wait.
I'm on the edge of my seat. You know, it's funny. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Wait for it.
The end.
I fully expected that to be exactly what his response was going to be, and yet somehow found myself surprised.
This dude didn't even cite his sources. There's no sources cited. He's just like, "Well, here, guess what I got."
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Also,
I don't know.
Also, how did Luke's severed hand get in space?
Yeah.
You see, Bespin don't got no ground, so when it fell, it just fell right through the middle of the planet and came out the other side and fed off into space. Print it. I'm done.
Okay, let's assume that he's right, and they're. I mean, it's obvious that this is just. If this is right, I mean, it's garbage, right? I mean,
yeah, but here's the thing.
I mean, obviously, so I was very sarcastic about how he described it.
So but. Are hiding a bunch of human popsicles inside torpedoes.
I know. I figured this is where we were going to go.
And it seems like the kind of really dumb thing that Abrams would be okay with, you know, because it's not even cliche. It's just kind of dumb.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to make the movie bad because, like, you know, the people torpedoes in Star Trek didn't make Star Trek Into Darkness bad.
Right.
but it was a really cheese ball thing that you just kind of had to swallow your giant horse pill and get past. Right. And that doesn't sound completely out of the realm of possibility to me.
Yeah. I tend to have to agree with you, man. I want to believe that this is exactly what Garrett described right. just now. But
right. because that's the trope, right? For every science fiction property ever. It's like, hey, we never found out what happened to that thing. All right. It's floating through space.
They're not even saying that's the thing.
Yeah, I know.
They could be like, oh, it's weird. It's this mechanical head floating through space. And
there's been several reports to come out after this about, oh, don't assume it's a flesh hand. It could be.
Well, I know. I said it could be the robot hand. It could be. Or, it could be his other hand. That's
the one he initially got cut off. Well, now there's other reports. And he got shot with a blaster on the skiff.
Well, there's other reports saying that.
And it flew off.
He was holding his lightsaber.
There's other reports saying that. Oh no, they're not going to do the hand. It's just going to be the lightsaber.
Right.
You know, but still, again, I mean, you know, the chances of it landing on a planet going through space and the two main characters of the story happening upon it. Hey, look,
maybe
look what's over there.
Maybe it's an Imperial probe hand.
Oh,
didn't think about that, did you?
And then they pick it up. How will it's they possible. Take it on?
Some
it
kind of self destruct.
Yeah,
it's dumb.
Yeah,
it's dumb. Could I get past it? Probably, but it's pretty dumb.
Yeah, I'm just.
We're just sensitive. We're abused children. We've been through a whole lot of dumb with the prequels, and so yeah. we don't want any more dumb. But yeah. we can still swallow a little bit of dumb. So,
well, I mean, let's face it. In science fiction, you've got to be able to swallow a little bit. I mean, you got to
sometimes.
You
gotta
get past your disbelief.
Well, there's a suspension of disbelief, and then there's stuff that's just dumb. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, that's like me saying, you know, I'm going to solve global warming by throwing a pack of Solo cups into space and that they'll block out enough sun. It'll be great. And common sense. Okay. You know what? I don't know what would happen if you emptied out a bag of Solo cups, you know, that you can get off the shelf at the Walmart in space. Cause I've not seen exactly what that performed. However, I'm going to go ahead and say that's dumb. You're not going to do that.
But so is same it kind dumb?
Of like someone said, well, you don't know. You don't
I
know.
Don't think so.
You don't know what the properties of our reentry from onto a planet on durasteel and plastoid that a lightsaber would be constructed from, and the Tatooine crystal would probably be completely intact. Shut up. It's dumb. Because guess what? That's metal and plastic and rocks. That's dumb. You know,
is it durasteel EU though?
Right. Well, I don't know. It was named in the EU, but it's, you know, the material's already there in the movies. Okay. You see it everywhere.
Plastisteel.
Yeah. So, it's one of those things.
The other little caveat to this is people trying to figure out, is this Luke's Return of the Jedi lightsaber? Is it his Empire Strikes Back lightsaber?
Is it Anakin's lightsaber? That's the question you're asking?
Not that that makes it any better.
No.
But.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, yeah.
Is it Obi-Wan's lightsaber? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm having a hard time swallowing this.
You're having a hard time swallowing it because you know you might have to.
And this is just like you said, man. I mean, we've kind of sung the praises of J.J. Abrams in the sense of
in terms of style
to stylistically recreate
right.
a movie and produce a look and a feel. But we've been critical since the beginning about, is he able to tell the story?
Is he able to craft a story that is anything more than cheeseball?
Because he's almost more preoccupied with look and feel than his story.
Right. And sometimes you feel like he's just like, you know what? That's good enough. When it comes to story, you know what, everybody, we're overthinking this. Let's just do it. That's how it comes across. Like, you know what? They're in the torpedoes. Boom, solved. Okay, ready.
Go.
That's how you get it. You know, or like Super 8
and lens flare.
You know what? Big ass alien. We'll siege him up. He's made out of big metal things. It's fine. You know, that's what I get. And I'm just kind of like, I love your style, but just a few more minutes at the writer's table probably could have saved some heartache. But the thing is, his style's so good, I don't know if he gets that much critique over that kind of stuff.
You know, the funny thing is, I've been listening to other podcasts and reading reports about this.
What? You cheater.
And I know. Can't believe it, huh?
Harlot.
Anyway.
You've cuckolded us all.
What I'm hearing other people already do is trying to work this through their mind so that they can swallow
it. Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay. Well, maybe if Luke was in a battle, maybe he was in that pirate space prison and he jumped out and he was trying to jump onto the ship. And he knew he was going to freeze, so he only had a few seconds to do it, and then the door closed on his hand and severed it. Okay, I'm okay. As long as they don't explain it.
That's exactly what it is right there.
I know, dude. I got real obscure on you there for a second.
Wow.
But that's exactly what they're doing, man. And I'm just like, I don't think there's any amount of, if this turns out to be true, I don't think there's any amount of rationalizing my brain, you know, given what I've heard, that is going to make me say, oh, okay, that's fine, no problem.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can. Well, the lightsaber crashing to the planet, if it's like barely recognizable, if it's completely charred and broken and someone goes, I know what this is, then I'm kind of okay with that. And I can rationalize it floating through space, because if it's not the hand from Bespin, the hand that rocks the Bespin, if it is a more recent hand or a metal hand. And let's say we find out that, you know, as they're finding Luke, they find out that the reason why he's been out of contact is because he's been in trouble. And that trouble is what caused the hand or the lightsaber to get separated.
Okay, but
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But if it's the hand from Bespin, go eat crap. I saw that thing tumble down through the fog or through the clouds. The Tabana gas.
Is that what you saw?
That's exactly what I saw. Darn you. I've seen the Blu-rays.
That is what I saw, too. Thank you.
So it's just.
That could have been anybody's hand. It's a dangerous
place. Okay, so.
Well, they didn't show you that while Vader was looking around everywhere for Luke out there, he was just lopping off the hand of everybody he came across.
You don't know where he's at.
By the way, he told like 50 people he's their father that day. The guy was kind of a dick. I'm your father. What? No, my dad's right here. Why did you do that? It fell over the railing where I can't retrieve it.
You need a hand with that?
Okay,
so Vader laughs and walks off.
So we've hit the hand here and the lightsaber, but there's other elements here. I mean, how about them just deciding, hey, let's go get this to the Jedi, and we're going to get this to the Jedi by going to Han Solo.
I don't know.
Sounds like someone on a website made it up. To me,
that's what.
Well, maybe the first thought. I mean, because okay, let's go back to what we've originally thought about Daisy Ridley is that she's Han Solo's daughter,
right?
You kind of okay, maybe that makes sense. She's like, oh, let me go talk to my dad.
Yeah, my dad totally knew a dude what did stuff with these things.
Right.
Yeah.
I can kind of see her going to Han Solo if they're related, if they end up being related, but. What do you think about I haven't seen Luke for 30 years.
Well, if Han Solo is like a washed up has-been, you know, I lost the Falcon in a gambling, you know, strip poker and Falcon stakes. Like, if that's what's going on, then I'm kind of like, I don't want to see the destitute Han, like the crappy late life Han. That's not what I want to see, but I could swallow it. But you're going to have to find a mechanic that gets them together that makes sense, where it's going to have to be like somewhat like plausible, but also a lot of chance involved. If it's literally like hey, let's go see this guy my dad knows or something like that, you know, I know a guy on Facebook. I don't want any part of that, because it's just going to be like,
I hear
wait
he
a minute.
Shoots first.
Yeah, I'm part of the people that know Jedi Ring on Google Plus. Join my people that know Jedi Circle. I don't want to have that kind of just leap from one point to another. And I don't think we're going to. I think we're getting an oversimplified version of it. We know that the Falcon's in the movie.
Yeah, right. Well, that was going to be my next point about that is that, yeah, we know the Falcon's a movie. We've seen production photos of it.
So. Well, they bought the dice.
They meet up with Han Solo. Yeah, they had to buy the dice. They meet up with Han Solo and they're like, so, hey, let's get going. He's like, hold on. I just got impounded. I parked in a yellow zone. You know, so they got to go break it out of the impound lot or something. Okay, great. That's fine.
The part I'm having the trouble with is the haven't seen Luke in 30 years.
Right.
I'm having trouble with that because they're really, I mean.
Stuff happens, man.
Here's the thing, man. I'm still having my EU a fit, okay?
Right.
You know, I'm still having trouble swallowing the fact that the EU doesn't exist anymore. The way I get through some of this is like, I see a movie and it's like, okay, I can rationalize it. Okay, we, you know, even though those don't make sense, we can, there's a way to get from A to B.
Yeah.
Now, if they make it so the Luke and Han have not seen each other in 30 years,
yeah,
then they've completely shit all over the EU.
Right. No, yeah, the EU's gone.
It's gone.
At that point, completely gone.
Gone.
But I would say this. Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill don't hang out. They don't go to bars together. They don't blah, blah. So when you bring in actors that haven't really had anything to do with each other for a long time and you throw them back in together, are they going to have any type of chemistry together?
I don't need them to have a lot of on-screen time together. I just want the history.
I know, but I mean, if
to
you're
be gonna, such that,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I here it is. I want Solo and Leia to be married, and I want them, you know, to have not seen each other for 30 years.
I thought you were going to say you wanted them to have on-screen sex, which I was like, oh yeah, maybe at a point, but not now.
Wow. I didn't read that in the spoilers.
That's why Carrie Fisher's daughter's in it.
That's Billy Lawrence scene.
Now we know. Now, I told you her name sounded like a porn star.
They're going to put Leia's face on Billy Lawrence.
That's right. That's what it is.
User body.
That's right.
For sex.
Thanks for clarifying
I shouldn't have left that silence linger that long. I knew we were going to go a dark alley with that one. Well. Oh, my word.
Yeah. So shoot me down, man. Go ahead and shoot me down for wishing that the EU wasn't going to be crapped all over.
I've already been kind of like working myself into understanding the fact that things aren't going to be the way I want them. But I don't want it to think like, hey, these are brothers in arms and they thought they'd be together to the end. But then the war was over and they lost touch. Oh, reality tear. You know, I don't want that garbage. Like I've said before, when we talked about the possibility of Han and Leia being divorced, something like that. And it's like, I don't want reality in this. You know, I don't want, oh well, you know, they really they had some PTSD and they found out they really weren't that compatible. You know, one was kind of like a fiscal conservative and the other one was a social liberal, and none of that had ever mattered before because, you know, the whole rebellion thing was going on. But then after that was over and they actually had to sit and talk, they just really weren't compatible. I don't want to hear that bull crap. I don't want like leave that crap at the door. I want to see these dudes, you know, high five and jump in some garens and shoot things.
Yeah.
Lightsabers.
Yeah.
Watch them bro it out.
Run around in stormtrooper outfits. Right.
I want to see Luke do some like wicked lightsaber moves and like the dude's like just totally fighting him off and stuff with, I don't know, something
flipping around.
So, yeah, flipping around, miss it, and then Han just pulls out his gun and shoots him Raiders of the Lost Ark style.
There you go.
And just goes, yeah, trusty blaster at your side, and just tucks it back in and be like, I get that joke.
See, you're touching on
the first one.
You're touching on the other thing that I'm concerned about here too, because, you know, growing up in the 80s and watching the movies, I mean, Luke was my hero. Some people, when they talk about the saga, that, you know, this was Anakin's saga and Anakin's your hero, blah, blah, blah. Luke is my hero. And in the expanded universe, you know, in at least in some stories, he's a badass. And I really want him.
And in others, he's the opposite of that.
I know. I know. Some people don't treat him very well, but I want him in this movie to be just a super mega badass, even if it's for a short time.
Yeah.
And I'm so concerned. I'm really concerned.
Yep.
That if his hand's floating through space.
His hand's floating through space and somewhere
He's just on Dagobah, you know, he's meditating now because, you know, he just.
Yeah. Oh, he's a hermit.
Lost it, you know.
He hermited himself up like Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Hey, did they make more Jedi? Nah.
No academy, no revival of the Jedi.
Yeah, no, the force is balanced because there's like nobody now. It's fine.
It's gone.
It's fine. Well, who are the bad guys in this one? Just sit down and wait for it. Just, you know. But yeah, I
get a little
like,
concerned about some of that because that's
some of the things they did in the EU were natural progressions. It wasn't it's not like with those first, you know, 10 to 20 books, when you sat down, you didn't really know what you were getting into. They were playing out what your expectations were and throwing some curveballs in there. This, so far, everything that we're hearing sounds like complete derailment of what your expectations and your hopes for that group of characters may have been.
Right.
You know, Han and Leia end up together. Luke comes by on Life Day.
And, you know, and everybody sees each other a couple times a year. They all keep in touch over the holonet, and Mara Jade's there.
Eggs. Yeah.
And the,
now you got
with
it.
Her wig.
With her red wig. Her
red wig.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. That's I.
Also, Corn, Horn, and Cockatarn. Thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you. So, okay. Well, the what's the last piece of this then, too, here is the super weapon thing on the ice planet. You know, here again, I'm just having a hard time believing this stuff, that this is real, because it just seems so way out there. You know, the whole ice planet, we've been there. Do we need another ice planet to run around on?
I don't know. And you need a climate.
Yeah, why not?
How about
you can hide stuff on it because of all the
super
snow.
Weapon. And do we need another super weapon? I mean, come on.
Well, this is something you said before we started recording, and I'll repeat what I said then. Mike, the first 15 books that came out had super weapons in them. That's where we got the Sun Crusher. That's where we got the Eye of Palpatine, for God's sake. That's where we got the Hutts making the failed Death Star super laser and Crix Maydane dying for no good reason.
And the point I made back to you, though, was that we've got 100 books, but we've only got 6 movies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, and then the point I made back to you,
yes,
we didn't I'm sure everybody loves us just telling about our debate we already had, was the fact that the prequel trilogy had no super weapon.
Yeah, true. It sort of
well,
did,
it was it or was kind of more in style back then to have like the super weapon. You know, it's not as it's Empire not as didn't. In style.
Well, Empire introduced the Super Star Destroyer, which was kind of the MacGuffin was a super in that weapon. Regard. It was pretty super. The Executor class Star Destroyer. But
but do you need a super weapon to tell this story? I don't know.
Well, what's your conflict? What was Luke off doing when he disappeared? What, you know,
he's trying to find his hand.
Where's Leia? Is she dead? Who killed her? Why? There's an underlying conflict taking place. Need it be? I mean, okay. Let me put it this way. Would you rather have a super weapon or would you have a planetary embargo?
To be honest with you, I like some of the political stuff.
I do too, but I don't like. Oh, I didn't like it in the prequels. I like the political stuff in the EU, but not in the prequels.
I liked it all.
It was all just so not deep at all in the prequels. It was
in the movies. It's never gonna be in the expanded universe. Because see, I read the prequel books too,
Waste a lot of time on Long Vowel Sounds with Gungans.
Read Cloak of Deception. Read Darth Plagueis, and you'll get a lot more enjoyment.
I'm reading them now. I'm reading the Darth Bane trilogy now.
Oh, that one's awesome too.
Yeah, I'll be reading Plagueis.
That's one of the best ones.
So,
word.
Let's put it this way: as far as a super weapon goes, from what we've heard, the super weapon is at the bottom of my list of concerns. I'll say that.
Right.
You know, hands floating through space, surviving reentry through the atmosphere. I have more problem with that than a super weapon.
Well, I think J.J. Abrams' original fanfic before he actually got agreed to the license to do Star Wars was that he would create a weapon where they dropped a bit of of red matter in the center of a planet.
Yeah.
They would
create for the planet.
But then, Paramount came along and said, hey, you want Star Trek? And he goes, okay.
What if the hand fell on a moon without atmosphere?
If the hand fell on a moon without it, so it just like came down to this, did a little floating. Neil Armstrong,
and then you get all this dust puffing up,
little puffs. Yep. It just comes in for like a little slow, a little skip landing, like across a pond, but it's all ashy in the background. That sounds fine to me.
Let's just say, I hope. That what we've heard isn't true, that it's like just some big farce joke.
I hope everything we've heard is bull crap.
I do.
Well, let me tell you about Into Darkness, Star Trek Into Darkness. Everything I heard, I was like, this is what it is. He's Khan. This. But then in the last quarter before the movie came out, they did a ton of misdirection. And J.J. Abrams coming out like, I don't know what everybody's talking about. Don't do this, blah, blah, blah. It's not that, blah, blah. And I saw the movie, sat down. It was exactly what all the rumors had been at the beginning of production, down to the letter, everything that, and everything after that, when they had more time during the editing process and all that, was all about going, okay, let's throw off the scent. So I don't know if it's different, Disney's involved and stuff like that. I don't know if it's different, but.
So you're saying there's some credibility to maybe what the.
I'm saying that if Into Darkness was any example of how Abrams runs a show, then yeah, the rumors probably do have some level of credibility. Plus, it's the internet age, man. You can't make a movie this big without leaks.
Right.
You can't do it.
Well, you should have seen this. The level
that big of a leak, though.
Sneakiness with just the shoot this past week in Ireland. I mean, there were, you know, cameras zoomed in and they were looking at boards where people were getting their lanyards and, you know, and all of its initials, and everybody's theorizing which initials go to what actor and, you know, which, you know, set person. And I mean, it was
who
crazy.
Do you think gets ASS?
That's what I would request my initials be on my lanyard. And I would say it's in honor of Garrick and every high score he saved in every game he ever played.
That's right.
I don't know. All I can say is there's a lot of people that really get into that level of detail on this stuff that, like, they care about the, for example, they were like, one of the lanyards had a K on it and they're like, K, Kira, that's Daisy Ridley's character. And that one's OW and that's Mark Hamill. And because it's the initials are for Obi-Wan. And, you know, I'm like, wow. I'm just the level of, that they care about that crap. I'm just like, it's like, just tell me, do you think Luke was there?
Or maybe OW was Han Solo because he was a pilot, and so was Orville Wright.
Oh.
No.
Dag nabbed.
Hey,
I don't know. I don't have that level of care for this stuff. I'm just like, just give me the overall report. Do you think they were there? Show me the pictures. Cool.
Right.
Hey, sweet.
Yeah. So. I think that's kind of where we're at with all this. All this could be real substantial, but also we don't know the context.
No,
even if it's all true, we don't have any of the context. So all that will still hopefully be there in some capacity.
And again, in all fairness to all this, that we're talking about the very first scenes of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, other than the super weapon thing, which would be sprinkled throughout. But I mean, we're just talking about the very, very first, you know, we don't know nothing about the rest of it.
So. We don't know nothing.
Nothing.
All right. Well, hey, speaking of knowing nothing. You've just wasted some good time listening to this silly podcast of ours, but hey, we're glad to have had you along. We want to, of course, encourage you to follow us on Twitter at PressPlayToSave.
Nah.
I did it again.
Wow.
Nope.
Again? I did. Last episode, it was perfect. Last episode, I was perfect. Yes, I was. And you still said Tweeter. Thank you very much. Tweeter. At FlyCasual. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. What do you want from me?
Fly Casual truth. What?
At Fly Casual 1138 on the Twitter, right. Fly Casual Podcast, if you want to search just for our silly name. And that thing is jam-packed full of all the good stuff. You know, you've heard Mike refer to it several times tonight. It is constantly being updated with wonderful nuggets. Sometimes just little stories, little funny things. So you definitely want to follow us on there. And then hop on over to the Facebook page, why don't you, at facebook.com/... Fly Casual Podcast, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Sounds
good. We're so spoiled with just being able to add things to lists these days. I couldn't tell you my wife's phone number if my life depended on it. So,
I could.
But yeah.
Hey.
So yeah, hop onto there and like us on the Facebook page. And hey, get onto any whatever app you're using or service that you're using to download podcasts. Get on there, give us a good rating, give us some feedback and things like
that. Yes, we need the reviews, guys.
Need the reviews to get the exposure.
Hey, and
you know who you are.
Give us some, you know, email us or whatever, and give us some honest feedback too.
But since we're not going to give you an email address, get us on. You can hit us up on Twitter. The Facebook page to accomplish the same mission. So, yes. Once again, the Twitter is at FlyCasual1138. And Facebook page is facebook.com/FlyCasualPodcast, where we totally want to hear back from you guys. But
don't we have some shout-outs to some Twitter followers?
Yeah,
we have shout-outs?
I need to
scroll down on my show notes before I start closing out the show.
We actually were knighted, or the equivalent of being knighted, this past week.
That's right. It's the same.
Spotter301U on Twitter, his Twitter feed, was very kind this week and said that we are his new favorite podcast and said some very kind words. And again, told us that we were the equivalent of being knighted over there in the UK.
So. Right, right. And he probably doesn't drink nearly as much as the Queen does, so it means something.
It really does. Yeah. It really does.
She's a lush.
Yeah, and we've been getting a lot of love from Mike Schmidt 09, man. He's our
super
buddy.
Fan.
Yeah, big super fan, man. So we just wanted to give a shout out to Mike this week too. So
yeah, we appreciate the support. We appreciate
thanks, Mike.
The shares and the retweets. Absolutely,
yeah, absolutely. So
Well, cool. Is that it?
That's it, man.
Is that it? Are we closing this thing out at 1:04 in the morning?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Let's get out of here.
I don't know.
Let's get the funk out.
Garrick so sounds like he's hand. Already halfway across the room with his hand on the doorknob. Like he's nowhere near the microphone. He's just over there, like with his legs crossed and like half bent, doing the pee-pee dance.
Going, yeah, it goes so bad.
Because otherwise, he'll go, and then I'll be like, "All right, we're closing it out." Garrick, want to say some parting words?
No.
Oh, too late.
He took his microphone in the bathroom with him.
He's here, toilet flush. There you go. Those are the parting words. And what better way to go out on lovely episode number 5. Thank you for joining us here, Fly Casual. We'll be back again in a couple of weeks with more crazy news, toys, rumors, and a bunch of goofy other crap because we don't have enough to do.
And hopefully a couple babies.
And yeah, and hopefully a couple babies. Also right, yeah. Plus 2 babies so that we can relax. I guess that doesn't make sense, but we'll find out. We'll see you next time, everybody. Later.
See ya.
Bye.